No pressure.
Good morning, Morro Bay. This is the City of Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board meeting. This is an exciting meeting for me because we have a number of new board members here. And what a wonderful day to see a full board on their first day. Establishing a quorum and calling this meeting to order at 9:01. I would like to start from right to left. I'd like each of our board members to briefly introduce themselves. Joan?
Hello. I'm newish to your board, and my name is Joan Solu, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I'm filling the residence position here. Although I have owned several businesses in the past in Morro Bay, and actually am pretty still in touch with the business community here, but also in touch with the residents and folks at the high school. I have kids. One son left at the high school playing sports and doing those things. So maybe I can be helpful and tell you about anything that new that might be coming up that they're discussing for blue and white big soirees at the school. So just hope to be helpful here. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Isaac Sue. I'm a resident here in Morro Bay. I've been living here since September of last year, so I'm pretty new. But my mom became the new owner and manager of the 456 Embarcadero Inn and Suites. And so I'm like assistant manager there helping her out, and I wanted to get involved and learn more about the tourism board. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Chris Costeca. My wife Cindy and I own the what's the name of our hotel? Stero Inn. He had Embarcadero, it got in my mind. Still relatively new to the board, came in last fall, enjoy it very much, and that's all I got.
Thank you so much. I'm Charlie Yates, current chairman. I am the general manager of the Inn at Morro Bay, resident of Templeton, former resident of Morro Bay, and the current president of the Morro Bay Maritime Museum. And love this group, love Morro Bay. It is, in my opinion, the pinnacle of tourist destination in all of California.
Good morning. I'm Steve Allen. It's hard to believe I'm the second senior member on this board now. I guess I'm vice chair. We own and operate the Best Western San Marcos here in Morro Bay, the La Serena Inn, and the Masterpiece Hotel, as well as a couple properties and a couple hotels in Santa Cruz County. So look forward to working with you all. Thank you to your former board members who might be listening to this for your service. And yeah.
I'm Nancy Dickinson. I'm new to the board. I'm in a resident position here. And I live in North Morro Bay since 2015. Love Morro Bay and can't agree with Charlie more. Morro Bay rocks.
Hello, my name is Amish Patel. I'm a hotelier here in Morro Bay. I've been in the hotel industry all my life and am interested to see what TBID does and what I can offer it.
And with that, I would like to take a moment and reflect, a moment of silence. Silence is golden. What a nice reflection. I would also like us all to stand, please, face the American flag here, and recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. All right, I'd first like to open this to board member comments. Any announcements from the board? Other than you're here, you're on the team. I love it. No comments?
Just that the City of Morro Bay is going to have its 30th annual Dixon Spaghetti fundraiser at the community center on March 15th, and that fundraiser benefits the Community Foundation of Estero Bay, which provides scholarships for youth sports and enrichment activities for kids in Cayucas, Los Osos, and Morro Bay, who would otherwise not be able to afford to play recreational sports or do recreational enrichment programs. And they pay up to, in some cases, 80% of the costs and fees for families. And there's no limit on family members. So if the family is unable to have their kids afford to play and they have one child, or if they have four children or 12 children, they're still, and it's the 15th, and it's a big fundraiser for Community Foundation of Estero Bay, so we certainly appreciate the city's partnership on that. So go get your spaghetti dinner tickets by stopping by the Recreation and Parks Department. Get your spaghetti dinner tickets now. They sell fast.
Any other announcements from the board? Seeing none, I'm going to ask if there are any staff announcements.
I do have some staff amount. Did you do public comment? I'm sorry, I missed. Okay. I do have some staff announcements. First thing I want to mention, I did not do a slide on it, but I did want to mention that we have a property opening March 1st on Front Street. It's called Salty Sisters at Morro Rock. It has 6 rooms, and it's the first new property we've had in a long, long time in Morro Bay, so it's a very big deal. I would hope that all of you will wish them well when they start. It's an unusual building. It has 6 rooms, but they can also be mixed to be more larger rooms. They could have like 3 rooms that accommodate more people. So it's kind of a nice, interesting mix for Morro Bay. Some other things I want to mention is I just returned from Visit California Outlook Forum down in Southern California, and it was really great. This was the first time that I went and felt like we were 100% focused with what they're also doing, and it was just a really nice feeling. They're coming out of all these extensive fires and floods that we've had over the last year, and they're really focusing on destination stewardship, and so they're really looking at the idea of protect, preserve, and promote. So that, you know, coupled with what we're looking at with the National Estuary, and we're really promoting out, you know, maintaining and keeping the quality of our destination alive, I think is really strong. So I was excited to see those two working so well together. A couple other things I wanted to mention. Amgen is still tracking along well. We have the planning's going well. Materials for the community bike ride as well as the meet and greet have been done and distributed, and we have events online set up for those. And we're hoping to have about 300 people at the community ride, which will bring people into town early and hopefully keep them to stay through the event and into the evening. We're doing that with the county cycling community as well, so we're trying to get out there broader than we have before. We have sold 2 more VIP packages, and I'm hoping to sell more of those. We still have quite a few left. At some point, I'm probably going to have to look at a couple hotels that have not sold any and see if we want to pull those packages and reallocate them somewhere else. So I will be reaching out to those hotels very soon.
Hello, Jen. Do we have that poster? Are those available yet?
They are not printed yet. We're waiting for Amgen's approval. As soon as they're printed, we'll get them all out to you guys. Okay? Some other things on Amgen. We are really struggling to sell booth space. They've got such strong parameters that we cannot go into, like healthcare and food and beverage and these different categories that we can't do. We're really struggling to find a way to sell booth space, and that is an income for us. So we're going to keep working on that, and we're working closely with AEG to see if there's a way around that. And so maybe like micro niches in those instead of just saying banking. Maybe there's another way to make it more personal banking for our community. And so we're trying to work through that. And also we've been trying to set up some different things with the high school, kind of struggling with that as well. I'm working with their vice principal, and he's really having a hard time getting ASB on board. This is different from what Amgen usually does. Amgen told us we usually don't reach out to high schools. We usually do elementary school, and this might be why. Maybe it's hard to engage high school, but they are on the route, and I really would like to see them activated somehow. One of the challenges is that the ride comes through so late. It comes out through after school. So one of the things he and I originally spoke about was maybe having some sort of an ASB presence down out on the lawn so that we can do like some sort of a land art there would be really nice. Whether I put some up there that they've done in the past, whether it's a bicycle or could do like cards that flip over and so they maybe show the pirate and say, welcome to Morro Bay or something, you know, really fun like that. So I haven't given up on that. I'm going to keep working on that. But maybe, Joan, if you can have any insight to me for the high school, I'd really appreciate it. I'm kind of struggling with that a little bit. We have our next AEG local activation group meeting here on March 19th, so that'll be good. We're actually going to walk the course with them as well during that day. Some other updates, we are in the middle of doing all of the photos for the hotels, which we've talked about before. The intention of these hotels is to really show how intimate Morro Bay is and how all of our properties are really quite accessible to the water and to the rock. And so some of the things we're looking at is really shooting like this photo that we took of Morro Shores. I mean, it shows the rock really well instead of just showing the building. And that type of thing is really a different way of looking at the Morro Bay hotels instead of, you know, just a hotel. And so I wanted to show you, this is the shot on the left is the old photo. And the shot on the right is the new one, which clearly shows how close the rock is to Coastal Breeze. And to me, that makes a huge difference. You know, I mean, the hotel on the left could be any hotel in any city. So how do we really, you know, show our visitors that, you know, how intimate our town is? I mean, every hotel is so close to the water, it's amazing, and I think we really need to tout that. So we're working on those. I think I have one more. I think that's it. That's all it for my announcements. Any questions I can answer on those? Or
I have one about Amgen.
Sure.
Is your department running the whole Amgen, the small amount of staff you have? Are you running the whole Amgen show, or how's that broken up throughout the city, I guess?
So we are the lead on it, and part of what TBID did was we hired Sam Pruitt, who is Slow Marathon. That is her business, and so she's come on board to be the oversight for us. Since we don't have a deputy city manager, we're actually funding that. And so she's taken a lot of pressure off of me, Joan. But you're absolutely right. I am the second in line behind that. So, and it's working really well. I work really closely with Scott Collins on it, and I'm not feeling any additional pressure from that. My focus is really on the hotel aspect of Amgen, and all the city managers have been really great about stepping up in their different departments. So, yeah, I appreciate you asking.
Can I ask what a booth cost is for business?
It's whatever we want to make it, Charlie. It's up to us. It's our income. So originally the prices that Amgen recommended were astronomical, like $2,500 and higher. And I don't see that's even reasonable for Morro Bay. And so we're looking at trying to couple them with, like, we have the ride in the lead car from here to from Monterey down to here. And then we have one from here, I think, to Pismo Beach. So we're trying to group these packages to make them a better incentive for businesses. And Sam is actively going after Rabobank and also Pacific Premier because they both have professional cycling teams. So going after somebody that already has an appetite for cycling is probably our best bet for those high dollar amounts.
Understanding that AEG has really tightened down who can participate, as they do, you know, because they have their sponsors that they need to protect as well. I'm curious if there are any, you know, working with a nonprofit, if there's any nonprofit availability, like Rotary, Lions, Friends of the Harbor Department, Harbor Festival. And I'm just thinking about, you know, potential, if there were voids, could we fill them with, like, Harbor Fest?
Absolutely. So we have, as a board, we have 6 booth space that we can sell, and that will offset our budget. So for me, I think we need to first try to sell those spaces if we can, and then absolutely we will definitely fill them. And if it's with a nonprofit, I think that would be great. But first, let's try to offset our budget a little bit if we can.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any questions? Seeing none, I'd like to open the floor to public comment.
Good morning. My name is Sean Donahoe, and change the subject. I'm going to talk about cannabis. I'm one of the seven groups that's vying for the medical cannabis retail storefront. Obviously, the people of California and the people of Morro Bay have already spoken about bringing the regulated access to all adults over the age of 21. My background in policy affairs and economic development is quite substantial. I have PhD work that I didn't finish on anti-money laundering technologies. I've worked for the World Bank in Russia. I have a master's from London School of Economics. My other partners have a vast amount of experience in the non-cannabis realm. One of my partners, Michael Joseph, ran commercial fishing operations out of Morro Bay for 20-plus years, as well as all over the world. Very much curates the beauty of the region off of his cattle ranch up in Santa Margarita, which is also, I think it was the second licensed cannabis farm in San Luis Obispo County. Incidentally, we also received the first county cannabis business license for a delivery service located close to San Luis Obispo Airport. That was after successfully clearing both state and federal criminal background checks. My background as a policy advocate is I set up the state's largest cannabis trade association in early 2013 and worked at the state capitol. I'm a member of both our state trade association's legislative committee as well as our national trade association state regulatory committee. I've been involved in the policy realm for six and a half years. But this is my first business that I'm actually touching and not being a consultant or an industry advocate. In relation to local affairs, about 2 years ago, I made the acquaintance of Chuck Davison, and he did have me speak at the California Travel Summit. So I love Visit California and the good work that Visit SoCal has been doing to promote the region. I did speak last May at Visit SoCal's Policy Summit on a specific panel about cannabis and how it will fit in with hoteliers and other members of the hospitality industry. In terms of the specific application before the city, we are proposing to convert 257 Morro Bay Boulevard at the corner of Morro and Morro, and to promote that as one of the many locations that are being vetted by the city's application process. As close as we are to motels, as close as we are to the waterfront, and as close as we are to the vital downtown business area, we very much want to integrate as much as possible into the community's character and provide a net win not only for commercial as well as for security and other community benefit standards. So it's a big deal, cannabis, but then again, it's not a big deal. The regulatory framework was approved back in October 2015, and it's just now slowly getting implemented at the local level. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Perfect timing, Sean. Thank you.
Yeah, I, at the corner of my eye, I was watching. Thank you.
Erica, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Yates. And I'm Erica Crawford. I'm with the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. I'm their president and CEO. As I'm sitting here, I'm just taking in the great diversity, gender, all things. I'm very excited to see what this board does moving forward in the next year. I honor the commitment that you've made to drive the dominant industry sector in our economy in Morro Bay. And just really public servants, volunteerism, thank you for stepping up and doing this. It's great to see new faces. So we run a 300-member nonprofit. It's multi-industry. It's the only multi-industry advocacy group in Morro Bay. We just came off of a two-day retreat. We have a board of directors. There are 12. We are sort of convening community leaders this evening, leaders and influencers, with this event. So part of what we discovered through a membership survey was that our members really wanted us to get involved in advocacy work. So we are working our GAP scores, and we've started a government affairs committee. So as you know, the Morro Bay City Council and staff will begin their goals and objectives setting process on March 1st. In order that the chamber can best advocate the needs of business during that process, we're convening the business community tonight at the Inn at Morro Bay from 5 to 7 p.m. We're calling it the squeaky wheel. It's an informed happy hour. Multiple department heads from the city staff will be on site, available to answer questions, provide context for issues so that our government affairs committee can draft a letter to council and participate
with fervor during the goals and objectives process. And we hope that many, many people will turn out for that process. I think San Luis Obispo City, during their goals and objectives, have 300 to 400 residents and business owners participating. And last year, I think our city had 9. Joan, you were there. So, you know, please come out and participate in our future. So, but thank you very much for your commitment.
Erica, thank you. Any further public comment? The floor is open. Seeing none, we're going to move on to our consent agenda. Hopefully we've all had a chance to review the minutes that are in front of us, and I would like to ask, are there any changes, alterations, edits that are due? I see none.
Is it okay, Charlie, for me to say something? Okay. I did send a question about the minutes to Jennifer, and she got back to me, and it was regarding the ADR the ADR being adjusted to the correct correct amount, I guess. And so Jennifer and I actually had a little bit of a conversation back and forth, and she checked with what is Lori's last name, Jennifer?
Kuzma?
Yeah, I think she checked with
Assistant City Clerk, yeah.
I'm sorry?
Deputy City Clerk.
Okay. With the Deputy City Clerk, thank you. And she said that the time to get it corrected would be basically here at this time to pull the minutes and to ask for a correction to the TBID agenda packet to make sure that on the TBID TOT report, which is different than the city's generated report, that we have the numbers corrected to go back into the packet. So I'd like to make sure that when we approve the minutes today that we get that correction made, because we as a government body now, we're here as a government body. If we don't have our documents and figures correct, then when folks pick them up to go use them for something else, everything's incorrect. And you know, once you get one number off, right, when you're adding all the way down the row, you're wrong. So correct data is really important, especially for us to generate it. So I'd just like to see us make that correction. So do we do that by just saying...
So this is agenda item A3, B1 on that agenda. It says that John Solu asked to have the October TOT corrected to be the 118, suggested it to be resubmitted. I guess you just need to note it, and we'll make that change in the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Just how she... Yeah. Great.
I'd like to see a motion, entertain a motion to approve the A1 through A4 with the correction.
With the correction, okay.
I'll make a motion, Charlie, to approve consent agenda A1 through A4.
I'll second.
Thank you, Chris. Calling for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any abstentions? Any nays? We're moving on. Okay, moving to business items. Jennifer. December 2018.
Thank you. So I have a couple pages to go through on the TOT report. First page is the traditional document that sits on the city government website, and it's just pretty basic, shows the occupancy and the total income and tax collected. I'd like to look at a couple things on this, going to page 2, looking at the year-over-year comparison. Some of the things that I wanted to mention is... I want to talk about first, there was quite a bit of weather in 2017 compared to 2018, which I wanted to make you aware of because December was down, and so the question is, why were we down? In 2017, we had 1 day of rain. In 2018, we had 7 days of rain, which is significant. It's also the reason why the Lighted Boat Parade was moved off a week, which really hurt our December numbers to a certain extent. one of the things that I wanted to mention is, to me, when I look at the STAR report versus how we're sitting, I try to look at this globally of how are our neighbors doing. And with Cambria and Pisma both being down, I did reach out to SoCal and ask them what they've done differently in December versus the December year before, and I have not heard back from them, but I'm interested to see what they have to say, because obviously there was just less bodies coming into our market. So I'm curious to see how what they have to say about that. San Simeon was up, but that's pretty typical Christmas time. Hearst Castle always does really strong. It's one of their strongest times of the year. The only thing that we really did different was we did not produce the kids' passport, which we've done the last 2 years. You know, our redemption is not super high. I believe we had 364 this last year redeemed. That is a added value to hotel guests. So when they come to the hotel, they get this passport, and the kids can get free stuff at different retailers in town. And, you know, talking with a lot of the hotels, I don't know if you remember back, but we talked about this when we were doing the marketing plan, and there just wasn't really an appetite thinking that this really drove business into town when there's already so many families and kids coming into town. So the decision was to take that off. I don't really know that that's why our numbers are down. I don't have any way to accurately compare that, but I would say it's not why the numbers are down.
I'd like to say that I think the moving of the lighted boat parade was a huge hit. We ended up only having two rooms booked on that Saturday. So I think that hit a lot of people. And that kind of goes back to what we talked about in that same meeting is presenting Winterfest as a whole, us as hoteliers doing a better job of marketing that has come for that whole period, so that if the lighted boat parade is moved, it doesn't...
It's still within the parade.
So it doesn't. So it gives people other reasons to come.
Correct.
I know they had a big hit.
And just so you're aware, Terry Bass is coming to talk about Winterfest, so we can dive into that a little more when she's here as well.
Did we have the tall ships in 2017?
We did, but they were on the subsea docks and they were here for less time.
So this year they were here for a longer period of time.
They were here for a longer period of time, but they did leave early because of weather. We lost that last weekend. They were supposed to be here, and I think they left Thursday, and they were supposed to be here until Sunday, which is really too bad. We could have used that last weekend of them being here.
And was it last year, was it 2017 that Highway 41 was closed, or was that 2016? Does anyone remember?
I want to say it was 16.
Mm-hmm. But last year, Highway 1 was closed, and this year it was open intermittently. If they did close it when it rained heavy, but it was open for most of the month. I'm just trying to figure out what we did different or what the market conditions were that were different that caused us to have less, I guess, less reservations.
How much influence do we all feel that the fires and evacuations from floods last year?
I think definitely 2017 definitely rose our numbers last year, correct.
That I recall is really helped. I mean, we were able to help out a lot of displaced folks from Santa Barbara and Thousand Oaks and around. So I know that for us was we opted to offer a discounted rate in December of 2017 in order to help out, and I know that really helped the inn.
I remember. Because
we don't want to wish floods or fires on anybody.
I know. We don't want to wish floods or fires, heaven forbid,
it's
California.
How we promote it.
But we were concerned when Highway 101 was closed. I think I remember talking to Jennifer about it. It was like, Highway 101 is closed. Oh, my gosh, that cuts off a third of the state from Morro Bay, literally. And it ended up that folks from Santa Barbara came up and filled the room. So that did have an impact. But anyways, so we got to, I think, hunker down and try and drill down.
And again, I think we really need to look at the county and see there's obviously something different. With Cambria and Pismo also both being down, there had to have been something countywide that they changed in their marketing, and I want to really look into that more.
Or San Luis has added a lot of hotel rooms. San Luis has added hotel rooms, right?
I don't think they were up by December, most of them.
Well, it might just be something in the overall economy, too. I mean, Santa Cruz County, even January has not been good. There just seems to be overall less rate compression. Mm-hmm. So is that more inventory? Is it the economy? But we're seeing it in Santa Cruz County as well.
I'd be willing to still say it's mostly weather. Last December and last January of 17, those months were very nice. This year has been a little rougher. That's a big factor.
We're not seeing tour buses, though, either.
Yeah, that's another thing that we can touch on. So actually this coming weekend I'm leaving for Go West, which is that's our best chance to get tour travel operators. And their big thing is, you know, they have to have breakfast included. So I've been talking with individual hotels about they don't serve breakfast. Can we, like, prepackage breakfast specifically for the tour operators? So these tour operators, they are booking 12 to 18 months out. So we might – this December might have been seeing the impact from the year before Go West. So when I go next week, it's not going to be like an overnight change. It'll probably be, you know, a good 12 months before we see actually that change, unfortunately. But I think that's something that has to be addressed for sure.
We still have hotels that serve breakfast. How many hotels don't serve breakfast? Do we even know what that number is?
It's close to a dozen.
But we still have our bigger hotels have breakfast. Like, do you have breakfast, Stephen?
Yes.
You do. And I think they
in
do
Amore
at the
Bay,
Comfort Inn.
Comfort Inn.
The Flags.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Best Western still do, right?
We
they
don't
still
offer
do breakfast.
Free breakfast.
Right.
But we do prepackaged breakfast.
You do prepackaged, which solves it. Public comment.
Come on up to the mic.
Good morning. My name is Amit. I own Harbor House. On the breakfast, I just saw the email response, and if you see on those dozens hotel, I would say I was the only hotel who was taking tour buses, multiple, and served breakfast would get effect. Other than every other hotel you see, those are really small. So I don't think that that's an effect for declining the tour buses. Like La Serena, I used to see tour buses, which I don't see anymore. Other than that, in at Morobe always had tour buses, and San Marcos sometimes. But they still have those hotels still serve breakfast, and I do still have some contract with tour buses. So there's always a way we can work around. Maybe, you know, you can talk to a few restaurants, like how we discussed in the past, where they could step up, you know, and they should actually, somebody needs to go and remind them, you know, that it's benefit to them. All these small hotels, small properties didn't serve anything as in breakfast anyway before. So that was the main reason we pulled it out. So, thanks.
And I totally agree. I still don't think they need breakfast with the general public for their product line. But, and I have, like Amit mentioned, I have been working with restaurants to see if they can do some sort of prepackaged breakfast. It's a tough deal.
And quick note on the boat parade. I don't think so. This was the first year it was moved or postponed. It have happened, I think, last couple of years consistently, I believe. Every time it's windy, I think Friday, we had disappointment or people call cancel, and either they move or they don't come. So it have happened in the past. So something to look at it. I mean, if you just looked at all the numbers. Weather could be, you can take it as in consideration where if it's rain, people don't come. But, yeah, and Habibon was open, I think, yeah, this December. So thanks.
The other thing I wanted to talk about with the TOT is looking at Jackrabbit. So I just did a really quick analysis. I asked Jackrabbit to pull their numbers. A challenge that we're having is a lot of hotels have switched over to AI Res, and that is not supported by Jackrabbit. So if you go on morobay.org and you're on the booking engine, you'll see the ones that sit at the bottom. They either don't have a website, like Gray's Inn does not actively book online, but then there's some other random ones that sit down there, and most of those are with AI Res. Sorry. The good news is that that company has been bought by SimpleView, who is doing our website, and they are aware of the problem. I'm hoping they're going to have some resolution on it. So that is a good thing. Hopefully we'll have some sort of go forward on that. I don't know if they're going to be able to fix it or not, but I'm really hopeful that they will solve that for us. Yeah.
But that's regarding referrals, right?
That's referrals. That would be bookings.
But if you look, the searches are down significantly.
Right.
So searches have nothing to do with referrals or with the booking system that the independent hotel operator would have. Searches are people
right.
who are interested in Morro Bay and then are interested in
absolutely.
Staying in Morro Bay.
Yeah.
And the searches are down a lot. So
yes and no. Look, if you look back at like May, June, July, August, you know, they're really strong, and then they start to drop off a little bit in September. They really go down in December. They went in half in December.
Yeah, in December they went
so
down.
So, again, there's something significant
there's something
that's changing.
There.
Yeah.
So that's...
And possibly weather. I mean, possibly
it is
just
possibly
weather,
weather
keeping
there's
people
a,
in. I'm not sure.
Well, there's a lot of spokes in the wheel, right? There's never any one single thing.
Yeah.
But it is...
It all
important
adds up.
To look at all of it so you know how to push for next December. So you know what you did this December that you might change and push for next September, or excuse me, December, September, December, they rhyme, next December so that, you know, Charlie, you run 100% December.
Any further comment? Any public comment? Okay, it's time to move on. B2. This is exciting. Nomination for board chair and co-chair, vice chair.
So we need a nomination from the board.
Can we just stick with what we have? Would
absolutely.
You two do it again?
But you still have to nominate Charlie and Stephen for...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I just want to make sure they want to do mm-hmm. it before we make them stick with it. Wait,
it should be a hotel seat for chair and... I think if you're having a discussion, you turn on your microphone, Charlie.
We're talking about you, Jennifer. No, I'm just kidding. We were talking about the potential of rearranging the board chair position or maintaining it. And I know that I'm a business person, not a resident, and that we have a few non-residents on the board that love Morro Bay and love our businesses. I am willing and able to continue this, and as long as I have the support
that
of my
board. That
would
be my recommendation with four new members. I think that would be wise.
And Stephen has done a fine job as my mm-hmm. vice chair.
Yep.
I move that we have Charlie Yates sit as chair for the next year, starting today, and that we have Stephen Allen as vice chair.
I'll second that.
Okay, we're going to call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you all. Thank you for your confidence. Love this town, love tourism, and we're just going to get better and stronger with our new board. I think it's really exciting for me. So thank you. Hi, Terry. So guess what? We're at B3. And that means Terry's going to get up and talk about Winterfest. Ooh, yeah.
So while she's getting her PowerPoint set up, I just wanted to give you guys a quick thought on this. So Winterfest technically does not include the tall ships. That is a separate grant, but Terry graciously has always included it as part of her push out because the more we have, the better we are. So that's kind of what I've asked her to do, and she's been really good about that.
There's one thing I'm really good at taking direction for. So I'm going to talk about Winterfest and the Central Coast Writers Conference because you guys are a sponsor of that too. I'll start with the Writers Conference. So the Writers Conference was September 27th through the 30th last year at Cuesta College. We had a record year, and we did add one day to the conference, and it was a Thursday, and what we added was master classes. So basically the students had a full 6 hours with one teacher, and they were encouraged to write and have a finished product at the end. That was wildly successful. We sold out of every single class on that. And the good thing is that we're bringing people. Most of our guests came on a Tuesday and stayed all the way till Sunday. So that was awesome. Oh, you're on Winterfest? Okay, I'll go to Winterfest. So most of our guests now, the word is out. I'm hiring for the conference for this year, and the word is out that it's like the best thing in the whole wide world. And it's mostly because we house them here. They've all fallen in love with Morro Bay. Most of them are from New York and L.A., and to be able to come to this little village and be completely, they feel embraced and loved. They shop here. One of our biggest guys wears only the Aloha shirt, so he comes, buys a year's worth of Aloha shirts and that, and moves on. So we had, is it not cooperating? Okay, so we started with Thursday with the master classes, and then the Thursday night we had our keynote was called Wine, Women, Wisdom, and Words, and that we put six women creators up on stage, and we gave them wine, and they talked about what it was like to be a woman in a successful role, and what their grandmothers they had taken from them, what they are currently seeing as a woman in the world, and what they wanted to leave behind for their prodigy. Unfortunately, it was the day that the confirmation for the judge started. So it was a very, very politically charged conversation, but it was really good. We had record people, and there was men there too. Thank you. And so we had lots of the restaurants around here catered it. So we had wine and cheese ahead of time, and then they got up on stage and talked. We had more sponsors than we'd ever had before, but as always, Morro Bay is our very top one because, like I said, you embrace us, you embrace the conference, and we love everything about it. We had part of your sponsorship funds underserved students. My goal as the conference is to never have someone not come to the conference because of money. So what we do is anybody who wants to come and can't afford it, we roll your sponsorships into them so they can come for free. I have about 17 different sponsorship programs for teens, teachers, people that are sick and need to write their story. A little bit of everything. This year, our teens, this was 2 years ago, it's John Lindsay, PG&E used to sponsor our teens. So that was 2 years ago, that picture. This year we had 50 in the teen program. And so this is, in doing that, we really kind of do a reach out to everyone we can with all the teachers, with the students, with anybody anywhere, so they never get turned away. So this year we had 285 students, 60 faculty, and 45 million volunteers, which equated to 620 room nights. Most of them stay here because they want to be around the faculty, because the faculty is all quite famous in their genre. Most people never know who a writer is or a screenwriter is, but once they hear that they're here and know what they would, we had... from Disney, we had the gentleman who wrote How to Train Your Dragon, Big Hero 6, and Tangled. So, of course, nobody knows what he looks like because he draws cartoons, but he was here and graciously taught. We had from several Netflix stars. We had the gentleman who wrote Deadpool and lots of best-selling authors. So with all of that, we did 80 workshops, panels, and discussions. We try very hard to give a little bit of everything to everybody, so we have screenwriting, poetry, nonfiction. We have a whole track of just teaching authors who have already written their books or finished their screenplay on what to do next, how to market, how to get the word out there. And then each year we have, that's Jonathan in his Aloha shirt, each year we have a party at the Inn at Morro Bay, and it includes networking and live storytelling. And the feast that they put on there is quite impressive. And it's one of the most talked about events, and people can't get there quick enough. So this year, for our teens, we did a script contest. Because they were being taught by a screenwriter, I got up before the class and said, all right, you have till November 1st to write me a script that's 10 minutes or less, and the best one will make into a movie. And thinking that there's no way that we would get anything, but we got 12 really good scripts. I chose one, and we produced it, and it will be showing at the Slo Film Festival on March 13th. So the good thing about this conference is we're learning how to make longevity happen to it. I mean, it is a gift that we are going to get into the film festival, but I guess it was good enough to get in there. So if you would like to come and see what your money helped do, it was written by a 14-year-old girl. It's a drama. It is not a comedy. It's quite frightening, but it's good. and then these are the press mentions we had. What we did this year is we tried to do something that was super viral. So Aldana is now currently a best-selling author, but she started as a volunteer at the conference. She wasn't strong enough in her belief in herself as a writer to actually register for the conference, so she became one of my volunteers. She drove the carts because the campus is so big, we drive everybody around in golf carts. And 5 years later, she's our best-selling author. She's on her third book, and so we use that as a kind of, this is what we're trying to do. This is the whole point of the conference, is take them from somebody that doesn't believe in themselves to buy a pen all the way to they're on the cover of magazines, TVs, and that worked really, really well with Aldana. She had just built a she shed in her backyard, and everybody wanted to take a picture of that, but her husband was having a heart attack because he wasn't sure if he permitted it, right? So, but we've got tons and tons of, I know, he's like, don't let them see the front of the house. But because of that, we got a lot of coverage. We got coverage both nationally and lots of locally. Our social medias is doing really well. This was the first year we did Instagram because there's not a lot of pictures when it comes to writers, but we figured out a way to do it. So there's lots of Morro Bay pictures, people looking lovingly out the window at Morro Bay. the Twitter and the Facebook is doing really, really well, and our post reach was about 241 per day on every single one of the our posts. We have hashtags at CCWC and then also Morro Bay, because it's one of the biggest selling points of the conference. I used to do it in Pismo, and I'm so much happier here. Anyway, so our paid advertising, we spent about, I think it was $12,000 when it was all said and done in paid advertising, and in each one of those, the Morro Bay logo is prominent and the biggest one. Besides Cuesta, they have a little issue if I do it even bigger. And so this year was the biggest increase in student sponsors and satisfaction. And on Saturday night, we made a deal with a couple of the local wine bars and restaurants so people could just casually go in. Each of them gave us a special writers conference menu, and so there was writers all over Morro Bay. Questions?
I have two things real quick before I open to the board. One, I would like you to mention what's going on with Judy Salamaca for this next year.
Oh, yeah, that's Judy.
Wait. I have one more thing. And then I would like to know how we can do a second writers' conference in February. Gotta ask.
Yeah, no. My head just exploded. So first and foremost, Judy Salamaca is our Lillian Dean recipient this year. Lillian Dean was the person who started the writers' conference. It's the biggest honor that we ever give anybody, and Judy was in my position for 5 years prior to me, and she actually chose me, poor girl. And so we're going to be honoring her. She also has been pushing for a writer's retreat where we just come and sit and write, have a little jump up in the morning, a little jump up in the afternoon, but like find one spot where we're all sequestered there. So that may be your February event. Okay. Questions?
Not a question, but more of a comment. I attended this year and actually paid the year before but couldn't come, but I'll let you keep the money.
Okay. Thank
but
you.
I finally attended this year, and it was fantastic. And I do agree that it's a great thing to have retreat 6 months before, because then people can write in between. So what is the mix between locals like me and people that come from out of state?
You know, it's
out of the area.
So Locally, it's about 50% of the people here locally. Because we have so many big screenwriters, this year we had Michael Tabb, we had Donald Hewitt. Donald Hewitt wrote... So because we have a lot of screenwriters and a lot of screenwriting agents, and it's nearly impossible to get in front of them in any other condition, we have 50% of the people are coming from L.A. But we had people as far as New York. There was a big writing group that came from Phoenix. You know, and again, I mean, yes, it is the conference that they like, but they really just love that it's this kind of intimate, small little place that we're all at in one time, and no matter where they go, they can run into somebody else.
Thanks, Terry, for a good report. I have a question for you. I'm always curious about the students. I have a son in AP English class, so I hope he actually does something with that.
good luck with that.
But in any case, 285 students, you said?
Yes.
Can you tell me, I'm just curious, are those mostly high school students? Are they some requests to college?
No,
are they local?
That's the whole attendees from Nancy.
285 is the entire attendee.
Yeah, we call them students, yeah, but they're attendees. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So as in students, okay, so we have two programs. We have a pre-high school program that's just for girls, that's fifth and sixth grade girls, and it's teaching them to find their voices, because we found that when we teach girls early on that they have a voice and they can write it down, then they're much more successful as adults. So we had about 35 girls for that, and then we had 52 teens, which are the 13 to 18, that come, and on Friday night, they're just in one team auditorium, and that's where Ricky was teaching them how to write a movie. And then on Saturday, they can take any classes they want. They kind of meander through as a group, but they can take anything. So if somebody is more interested in nonfiction, they can take that. If they're interested in movies, they can take anything they want.
Terry, thanks for your great energy and obviously putting on a successful event. Of the 600 plus or minus room nights that are sold, explain how the hotels, are they partnered hotels, or can the participants go wherever they'd like? How does that work?
We do partner with Inn at Morro Bay because they sponsor our networking night, so that's kind of our host hotel. But yes, I would I reach out and look for partners all the time because we have some attendees that are on a low budget and they need a cheap room, for lack of a better word, and then some that want a larger one. So we spread it around. On Thursday night, we had an unprecedented number of people arrive that weren't supposed to and didn't have a room. And luckily, we placed them all that night. So we placed, I think it was like 30 rooms on Thursday night, and I was just shotgunning and calling everybody I could, just going through the list. And then a lot of them moved back to the Inn at Morro Bay, so we had our drivers running around to random hotels picking up luggage and checking people back in. So, yeah, they go everywhere. I do on the website have... we have your lodging widget, but then we also say, here's the hotels that we recommend. So once we get a partnership with somebody and they give us a special rate, then we put it on the website of here's the places to stay.
So just one more comment on this. This was an event that I hunted out, Terry, when I first got here, and we kind of swiped it from Pismo Beach. It was housed in Pismo Beach, and I'm like, it's right here. Why are they going all the way down there? And so,
because Terry lives in Pismo Beach.
Yeah. So we are thrilled that they're here, and we hope it'll grow, and I would love to talk about a February retreat. I think it'd be great.
Thank you.
Someday.
Not today.
Someday in 2019.
Not today.
It is February's almost over. All right, and then on to the Morro Bay Winterfest. So the Winterfest this year started November 30th because of the way of the calendar. Basically, the Lighted Boat Parade starts Winterfest, and so whatever the first Saturday of the month is kind of dictates where we're going to go on that. It was December 1st, so we started on November 30th. And so we had the Santa House, the Lighted Boat Parade, the Paddle Parade, Tall Ships, Santa Crawl, Gingerbread House Competition, Snow Elf on the Shelf, etc. So first came in the Tall Ships. As you know, the weather was kind of challenging this year, so they came early and left early. And I think it's hysterical that somehow or another my personal phone number ended up on that website. So every single time a ship wasn't there, when it was, I got the call. So that was awesome. And I just explained tides and weather and sorry. So because when they got here, the weather was so bad. I mean, the winds were howling so bad they could not get off the pier. That's how bad the winds were. They couldn't even take those giant ships off the pier. So one of the things that the crew did was they came off and they sang Christmas carols from the 1800s. Was just like a random happening, but it was so cool. The people that stumbled upon it thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened. And then we had the Santa's house from November 30th to December 15th. Last year we felt that we weren't there long enough, and so we went till December 15th. Luckily this year, the way that it works, we'll be able to go all the way up until Christmas Eve with the Santa house. The Rotary Club built this Santa house, and this year they put a roof on it and added 10,002 light bulbs. And Santa was there every night from 6 to 8. It was free to the public, which blew everybody's mind because I guess every other Santa house in the county charges. And so they'd say, how much? And we'd say, well, it's free. And they'd say, here's some donations. So people were super appreciative. It's not just children that come into the Santa house. We had just as many grown-ups and dogs as we did children. The gentlemen that played Santa were fantastic. Don Doubleday was Santa a lot, and I encourage him to do it again. he was a fantastic Santa. He grew the beard and everything. And then what we do is we have different businesses host the Santa house, so they basically bought toys for that night. So every kid that sat on Santa's lap got a toy. So it was kind of awesome. This year we are planning on doing the flooring and up and then doing some more decoration outside. The Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department came down for 3 nights and they put up 35 of the blow-ups. They brought the rescue jet skis and lighted them so the kids could get on it. Sophia from Poppy's store in downtown built us a sled, so there's a beautiful sled that sits outside it for photographic opportunities. So the Santa house is pretty exciting. We had the tree lighting was on Friday, November 31st, starting with the rec department up at the park up there. And then we had the crab pot Christmas trees. This year there's 33 crab pot Christmas trees that were lit up. We're going to do a push in the middle of summer to see if we can get more residents and more businesses on board and order the crab pots in December or in June instead of in December. Because, of course, what happened was we ordered them all and they're leaving from Maine, getting to Morro Bay, and somewhere in Idaho they sat for a week in the snow. So the cool thing about the Crab Pot Christmas tree is now Morro Bay is now branded with that. It gets us a ton of press outside the area because it's such a cool thing for everybody to be doing. So we're really going to keep pushing to get everybody on board with these Crab Pot Christmas trees. This is the actual Crab Pot Christmas trees, but the ones that we bought from the Maine crab fishermen is basically just kind of, if you haven't seen them, they're not much to look at during the day, but at night they're stunning. And we did figure out a way to make them run on batteries this year, so that's kind of cool because a lot of the barrier to entry with a lot of businesses was said, I don't have a way to plug it in, but just a simple car battery can light it all night long. The Lighted Boat Parade Preview is something that we do the Friday night before the Lighted Boat Parade. And what we do is we have businesses sponsor specific of the large boats that are going to be cruising anyway. So that includes the tall ships, the restaurant boats, Coast Guard, Harbor Patrol. And so the businesses give the money to the boaters to either put the lights on or pay for the gas. Papa Gallo, the $500, it's how much gas he uses just to do the parade. That was a windy, gnarly night, but still 8 businesses sponsored, but only 6 boats cruised because, again, the tall ships could not get off the pier. And then we had Saturday, not December 1st, but December 8th. So this year we had to make the call to postpone the lighted boat parade, and I am personally the most horrible human being on the planet because of that. There was a lot of people that were very upset that we moved it. But basically it came down to it was not safe for the boaters to be on the water, either putting up the lights or parading in that kind of weather. We are working on a system, talking to other cities that do boat parades to get, we're going to set in ink, this is how much ahead of time we'll call the parade, this is the weather service that we'll be using, because part of the problem is all of us were using different weather services. On your iPhone, it's always sunny. And then John Lindsay says there's gale force winds, but your iPhone says it's sunny. So we're going to pick how we're going, when we're going to do it, who's going to call it. It basically came down to the harbor, because there are police on the water, there are safety on the water, and when the harbor master said it's not safe, I said okay. And so we put out the press that it was postponed. It was about 48 hours ahead of time. So there was a lot of people that were very disappointed because they were already either here or they couldn't get out. But there was other. My whole point was there was so much other stuff to do. There was the Santa House. The tall ships were there. They were there was a ton of other stuff to do. So we postponed it till December 8th. On the 1st, we had 45 boats that had signed up. But then only 25 competed. There was a lot of competition on December 8th. There was a couple fishing tournaments, that they couldn't go out. So we did the cash prizes, $500 for first, $350 for second, $150 for third. We had 8 celebrity judges. John Lindsay was our judge this year. It was the first time he'd ever seen the lighted boat parade, which I thought was hysterical. And what I did this year that was different is I had events going all the way from the Rock all the way up to where we were hosted and right in between the Libertine where the boats were. So we spread it out. So I had a couple vendors in the Rock parking lot. The Whitecap Band played on the South Tee Pier. So we tried to make it so it was the whole Embarcadero had something Christmassy going on. The paddle parade was on December 2nd. The paddle parade is the non-motorized boats. It's an answer to that it got kind of dangerous on the water with the big boats and the small boats, the non-motorized ones. So on December 2nd, we had it at Tidelands Park. It was from 1 to 4. We had 22 non-motorized friends. What we did with the prizes, we split them between over 16 feet and under 16 feet. And then on the shore, we had the Sea Otter Savvy and a bunch of state park activities. The second place prize for the under 16, they drove here from Reno to do it. They put on chains on their tire and drove down to do it. They were amazing as the Grinch. That's them. I want it to grow more. I think, you know, because we had to put off the lighted boat parade, everybody assumed that that was, like, the whole weekend was going to be canceled, but that was a beautiful sunny day that next day, so. And then on December 7th, we had the Santa Crawl. We had 249 crawlers and went into 24 businesses. Again, it's a very aesthetically appeasing thing to walk outside and see 250 Santas walking down the street. The businesses were excited about it. Now at the point with the crawls, there literally is hardly anybody that just doesn't do it again because they shop. They have their sip, they look around, and they actually shop and buy things, especially during the Santa Crawl. So the Santa Crawl went all the way down Morro Bay Boulevard over to Main Street and then down through the Embarcadero. And we went all the way to GAFCO and the museum was part of it. On December 8th, we had the gingerbread competition. We have this at the Inn at Morro Bay. We had 12 contestants, 2 that were professional and the rest of them were families. And again, it's a really cute, wonderful kind of Christmassy thing. Inn at Morro Bay is awesome about taking them in and displaying them and leaving them there. And the whole lobby smells like sugar. On December 9th, we had the Elf on the Shelf and the snow. This year, we paid to have the snow bought in. It was pretty impressive. You did lay it down in 45 minutes. The year before, it took us 3 hours to spread it out. They come in with like a big blower and just blew snow. And so we had, I put all of these on Eventbrite, every single event, even though it's free, including the Santa House on Eventbrite, so I'm collecting email addresses for you. So even though it's free, people will sign up. So I have 1,345 registration addresses that were collected. So when it's all done, I shoot it off to Jen, and she adds it to her list. And then when we repeat, then I let that group know that, you know, we're doing it again. So this year we had two snow areas, one that was a hill, and he actually, the snow guy, made a sled, a toboggan thing. So I'm not sure if I'll do that again because a lot of people got blown into the out. KSBY, I'm happy to say, was here for every single event, and they spent a lot of time at the snow. They interviewed my granddaughter, so she was on KSBY that night because she has lots of things to say about snow. And then we have the Elf on the Shelf competition, which is basically a children event where they recreate what the naughty elf has done in their house, and we have really great prizes for them. And then our major sponsors, Pacific Premier Bank was a major sponsor this year, and then, of course, you guys, the Rotary and the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department. That's it. Thoughts, questions?
I have a question for you. Is there any plans as of yet to consider ice skating for like the entire month or at least the entire Winterfest?
Ice skating?
Yes. The idea being that maybe the city can provide the location and then outside entities will pay to do that. You know, they'll charge. But that's an event that can go on the entire season. I didn't mention before, we go back and forth to Temecula, but in Temecula this year they had three venues.
Really?
All of them sold out continually.
I know a friend of mine did the ice skating rink that was at the Madonna Inn for a couple years. It's quite the commitment, money-wise. So I would love to do it. I'd love to see it. But you need a venue where you can lay down the ice and can be completely locked up and secured at night. So, and hard water costs money.
Right. I think they were charging from $12 to $20 a person
right
down. And the fact that it went from one year to two, now three, it tells me there must be even money making.
Well, and I do.
Not for the city, but for the entity. If they're paying a rental sum and then they run it individually.
And I do know that the snow, those 4 hours of snow, is the happiest you've ever seen the Morro Bay kids. I mean, I think the parents would actually pay if we could even go further with it. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
But to drive hotel rooms, that's a great event.
Right.
But that's a four-hour gap.
Right.
I'm trying to think of something that can take it and go an entire season.
Basically, it comes down to whatever TBID can fund. Because,
right,
like, the snow we funded this year, that's why we had real snow. So,
well, I may spend a little time on that. It'd be nice
if
it wasn't an expenditure to us.
And I can put you in touch with the person that did it, and so you can talk to her about logistics and costs and everything else.
Perfect. And I'm assuming Madonna Inn probably did a very large one. They don't have to be big. I mean, some of these.
No, theirs was that whole event center.
Yeah, you can do them as small as this room right here.
Terry, two questions. The snow and the Elf on the Shelf, was it mostly your registrants? Was it locals here from Morro Bay or people coming from out of town?
We had about 35% of them were from Santa Maria.
And second question, I know that the funding for the crawls was somewhat controversial. Any negative incidents, anything?
Not a
happen?
One. No. The police work with us. He starts with me at the very first start, and there was nothing, not a problem at all, not in any of the crawls so far.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I take that back. The leprechaun crawl was during that stupid baseball game that went to, or the Halloween call, the baseball game that went 22 innings. So they stopped crawling and they just stayed in one place. So that was the complaints they had, but I can't control a baseball game. I'm like, where'd they go? The libertine. So.
Can you? You were talking about the crab pot trees and how you, the fisherman or whoever designs those, worked to find a solution to providing electricity by using a car battery, which is of course very clever. How many of those trees were put out? The smaller ones that are about as tall as a human?
Well, they were sizes from 3 foot all the way to 6 foot.
Okay.
And so we have 33 that have been bought so far.
33. And how much are they?
It depends.
So ish.
Yeah.
Generally.
So the bigger ones, I think, were like $300, like 8 foot.
The 8 foot ones are
yeah.
About
and then the smaller ones were, I think, the 4 foot ones were like $80. But there's shipping involved too, so
in addition
yeah.
to that, and
but we also have the exact same thing can be found closely at Home Depot. So if you don't want to be a purist and actually have it made out of crab pots, we're going to encourage people you can go buy it at Home Depot.
Okay. Well, the reason why I'm asking is because if we started further out, maybe people could build it into their budget, because obviously this is early in the year now, and it's so funny that we're talking about the holiday season already, but that's how marketing and tourism works. You talk about things way, way out in advance.
Exactly.
So for the first time ever, I had family visiting, but for the first time ever, we took a huge group of our family up to Cambria to see the Christmas lights this year. And it was jamming. I mean, the whole town everywhere, not just where the lights were, where the holiday lights were, but the whole town was jamming. And to get into the lights, we parked at the high school, and they had buses, coaches, and the coaches and school buses were six deep, lined up, loading people up to take them up there to see. What an impact.
Yeah.
What an impact. I stood there in that line from the back of the queue to get onto the bus, and it took us about 45 minutes with kids running all over the place, you know, our big group. But it was fun. We had a great, you know, time. And I could see our city becoming a city of trees, since we're a Tree City USA. So I could see us becoming a city of lit trees if we could all figure out how to do that and get on board with that. It takes obviously advanced planning, and knowing how much the trees are is part of it. I'm not sure that all of our businesses are aware that they, or maybe they are. I don't
sent
know.
A letter to every single business.
You
in
sent
the
a
city.
Letter to every
yes,
single
I
business.
Did.
Yeah,
a couple times.
So, and you know, they're all most of our businesses. You can see we don't have any, you know, Bubba Gumps or corporate restaurants
right.
or whatever. They're all in there working. All the hotels are in there working. So somehow reaching them really far out in advance and keeping it front of mind so that, and I know it's a lot more work for you, but anyhow.
Oh, no, I mean,
that's what
she's
saying.
Because I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to do it in June. And I did approach the businesses in June, but they were kind of, now we're busy, go away.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, they're slammed.
So, and, you know, with the Winterfest website, we have a map of the trees, and so it grows every year. So anybody could go on there, pull up the map, and drive around and see every tree. And so we plan on making it even bigger next year.
The other thing that we haven't done before, Joan, which Terry and I talked about doing this year, is opening it to the residents. So we've always gone after the businesses to buy these trees. And this year she's going to go after anybody in town to buy a crab pot tree. And so we can really, like what you're talking about, is really try to impact the town.
And then what, it would be put in the downtown corridor or something?
No, at their home.
At their home.
Yeah. Absolutely encourage people to have a crab pot tree at home.
Okay.
Because we actually had people ask about it.
What if they want to sponsor one somewhere else in the community?
They can do that, too.
Of course.
That would be
and
so cool.
We did, Judy Salamaca did that, actually. She bought a tree that was at a business location.
Yeah, that would
so
be great.
So we totally are very open to do anything
right.
like that.
And the crab pot Christmas trees, he felt so bad they were late. He's donating 2 6-foot trees that's coming to us at no charge. So one will be at the Santa House, and then we'll put one on the pier.
Oh, great. Okay. So I want to know about the trees. Sorry, I love Christmas lights.
They're fabulous. They're beautiful. Anything else?
Terry, thank you so much. Cool. A lot of hard work.
Welcome.
And a really great event.
Thank you.
Love them all. Thank you. And now we're going to be moving on, talking about our 2019 visitor guide concepts. Jennifer?
Sorry about that.
So we're getting ready to do our yearly visitor guides to bring the new board members up to date. This is our third year of doing the pocket size guide. It does really well for us. These are mainly in hotels, so it's people when they get here on the ground, or if they can either download a copy on morobay.org or they can request one to be mailed. We mail roughly 2,000 a year out to people that are incoming guests. So we've always done the same guts and the same advertisements, but we do four different covers, and so that way it feels fresh. So people that are coming twice a year, they might think it's a different guide than the one they picked up earlier in the year. So it's just a little visual trick of the mind. What we've done, and I'm going to ask Megan to kind of help us out because we have a lot of options here. There's a lot of different options. I wanted to give you guys some really good thought on it. And, again, looking at globally how we're trying to change the Morro Bay brand, we're really trying to upgrade the quality photos that we are using. And most of these are Dana's photos that we have purchased from her, so you'll see them on our new website. And they're on social media as well. I'm really happy with the quality look that she's doing, and I think it upgrades Morro Bay as a whole and really shows us how we all know that we are. I would encourage you guys to look at possibly four different covers that show the rock, that show active adventure, that show the beaches. As we've talked about in the past, our beaches are really kind of a missing link when you talk with visitors. They know the bay, it's in our name, but they tend to forget that we have amazing beaches and they go to Pismo. So the more that we can promote out that we have amazing beaches, I think that's a really strong cue for us. So what I thought I'd do is, we have so many covers, I thought maybe a really good way to start is just, if there's specific ones that you want to just take out and just say we don't like this one, as a group, if you can make a decision on the definite no's, let's pull those, and I'll have Megan kind of do an interactive. She'll just go on here and start deleting so we can kind of look at the group as they get smaller, and then once we get rid of the definite no's, then we can look at the other ones. Up to four. We print a total of 20,000 guides yearly, so I would recommend four covers. If you don't like up to four, we can do less, but I think four is a good number.
I'll start it off. I mean, personally, the buoy doesn't do anything for me. It's kind of cold and
inviting. The seal. Okay, but I agree. He's really cute, though. He's super cute. I think we'll definitely use the photo for other things. But
very strange. Independently, I shot these through my staff.
Yeah.
The buoy was number one.
So funny.
And I'm like, and it wasn't my number one, but for the line staff working at the hotel, they like the buoy.
I agree that I don't like the cloud in the background. So, as a board, do you want to pull that one out? You all agree to pull that one out?
No, he's saying remove it.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So go ahead and yank that one, Megan.
There's two with kites, and I think we could probably eliminate one. For me, I like the one where the kids are laying on the dunes. I like the positioning of it where it shows the dunes and that we're not just the rock or... That other one, the kites seem too far away to me.
I totally agree.
The position of the rock is too low in the photo. There's something that's different. I don't know.
I agree. How does the board feel? Everybody want to get rid of the one that shows the kite with the rock? That would be this one, this image. Okay.
Because there's two kite pictures, so I was just trying to narrow us.
Any other ones that are a definite no? And by the way, that's our city manager, the runner, if you guys didn't know. He was my free model. I'm all about free models.
Jennifer, back to the seal one being it's cloudy, but to keep in mind that when we do mailings to our clients, our Facebook posts, and it can be the greatest sunset, it can be the greatest hotel, we get the most hits when there's an animal in it.
Animal, I agree.
If there's a seal, if there's a...
And we will definitely use that shot in other places for sure. I'm not getting rid of the photo as a whole.
And then I know you have great shots, but two things to challenge for the future. I think we might want to consider some sort of aerial sometime that shows the Embarcadero area with the ocean. Give someone a big picture view of the city. It would be a nice photo option in there. And then again, an otter one. But these are great. But that being said, I think they're good.
This one to me is a keeper. It's just classic Morro Bay. It's got that, it's like sunset I've said this before. Yeah, picture yourself here, whether you're jogging or whatever, painting. This is just, it's that shot.
Any others to remove before we move on to the likes? Get rid of the surfer. Wow. Really?
I like the surfer, but it doesn't, there's nothing about Morro Bay in here. I don't know. I mean,
it's your call.
I like him.
It's
I
your
like
call
the surfer.
As a board, whatever you guys want.
I'm going to agree with that. I wasn't liking the surfer one. That's too niche.
Maybe we better have a show of hands who likes the
and again,
like
the what I remember hearing is show them something unique that you can't see everywhere, like a wave or this just looks, even though it may be more urbane, it's beautiful, it looks generic. Like it could be Huntington Beach.
I wish it had the rock in the background.
So,
Well, I spoke with some of the participants from the surf contest, and my understanding is we were trying to promote more things like that for a younger generation. So I like the surfer.
I like the surfer.
And it is the action adventure, which was one of our points on our strategic plan, was that active adventure persona.
That's a great way. Jen, is it too much of a challenge if everybody had this? I know we're not necessarily the final choice on this. I don't know.
If everybody what?
If everybody has this, why couldn't we just write down the four that each one of us likes and give them to you and tally? That seems easy enough to me.
Everybody doesn't have that. That's out of my packet. That's my PowerPoint slides, to be honest.
There's two there with paddle boards. There's one that's stagnant, and then there's one with a human. So there's the paddle boards up on the beach.
There's actually three. There's also a yoga paddle board.
Oh, I was counting that one as the human one. The yoga paddle board, there's three with paddle boards?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, because there's the two humans on the bay with their backs to us.
I just want to make a quick comment about the surfer, because I think that goes to a couple of things. The beach part of Morro Bay, not just bay, but also because when we get international and domestic travelers, they want to see California surfers.
It's a lifestyle thing. And California Dreamin' or whatever their ads are, their ads are really about lifestyle, and every one of their ads is showing people surfing.
Right. So maybe there's a better photo, I don't know, but I think surfing is huge.
But we have,
and we don't have to go to print on these right now. We're still doing the book, so we can say let's keep a surfer, but let's look at other options in March. Amish, you have a.
What about the three paddle boarders?
Well, do you have a question on the surfing?
I do like the surfing one just because it shows active people doing something in Morro Bay, as well as a runner and the family on the beach of people participating in what Morro Bay has to offer, their natural aspect. Something that I would like to see on there would be the Embarcadero, and not just something that shows probably from the rocks point of view showing downtown.
Okay.
Is that on? I think the stagnant paddle boards is probably one of my least favorites.
That's is that this one?
Yeah. No, the other one. The one with no people.
Oh, these three boards?
Yeah.
So do we want to get rid of this one? Everybody agree? Okay, that one's gone.
Can I give you the four I really love?
Sure.
The first one with the family on the beach, but if there's a way to Photoshop a dog in there, it would be even stronger.
Are you, Nancy, so are you talking about this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big one.
I love that one.
So, Photoshop a dog in there and it's boom. I like the active. The rest are really like the active.
The running?
The runner, the plein air painter, especially since we're sort of talking about that as maybe an activity. And then the two kayakers, or the two paddleboarders, kayakers, paddleboarders. The active motif with the rock in the back, I think, is great. I love the solid rock. I mean, it's so beautiful, and it's so classic Morro Bay. But for me, it's too stagnant.
I agree.
I love it, but
it's not going after that younger.
Not on the guide.
So maybe we can go just down the row, and you guys give me your top four, and I'll kind of total them up. Is that okay? So Mitch, I'll start with you.
The four that I like would be the family on the beach, the surfer, this rock.
That one? Okay.
And the runner.
And the runner, okay.
Do you want mine again? You got mine already.
I got your four, yeah. Steve?
Did Scott actually model for that, or did you just get a picture of him?
No, he modeled.
Did
I
he?
Have a whole series of him. It's awesome. Isn't that great? I love that shot.
Can't wait to go over that with him. I would say just the top four. It's what I like, the surfer, the runner, family, and then the rock.
So this rock one are you talking about?
Yes. Oh, there's more on here.
Okay. Charlie?
Can we have them all? Just kidding. I like the painter, the plein air painter. I like Scott running to the rock. I like the big rock with the
okay.
And I also like the family. Putting a dog in there would give people a wrong impression since we don't allow dogs on that beach.
It's a strand, yeah.
But no, it's it might not be a bad thing.
Okay. Chris.
You guys talked me into the surfer. I see that value. I do like the family on the beach. I like the painter. And to balance it out, the yoga kayaker.
Okay.
I think that could work in the winter, since the others are more summery looking. That could be in the wintertime.
Isaac.
I feel like most of the guests that come to my hotel are older, and so I understand trying to market to, younger people, but I feel like the people that actually look and use the pamphlets, they're going to be older. So I really like the painter. I feel like I can actually see a lot of my guests being that person and, them identifying with that. And then I guess I like the ones with the rock because I, like what you were saying, the ones without the rock can be kind of generic and, it doesn't really necessarily scream Morro Bay. So, yeah, I like the one, just the rock.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I like this one.
Okay.
I like the painter and then the runner.
The runner.
And Jen, if I can go back. I kind of messed up. The families, I like the family with the rock. Also the kites and the rock instead of the ones on the beach. Because I don't have enough rocks in mine.
Okay. Joan.
So I'm split. And so I think since we're going for rebranding as an area where there's adventure, I think it's been my experience that when you market to people, even if they're not going to do that activity, or even if their age is beyond that activity, they like to imagine themselves doing that activity. Yeah. We all like to imagine that we can surf that wave. We all like to. So, anyways, we all like to imagine that we can run up the beach, right? It's kind of a freedom thing that you feel on vacation. So I'm a 2 and 2. I'm surfing, running. I am the family on the beach without the rock. And I am liking just the rock as a nature thing where your imagination takes you to doing whatever you'd like to do there, whether it's a bonfire.
Is this the family one you like on the beach?
That's the family one. Okay. I like with the strand. So I'm 2 with the rock and 2 without the rock and
okay.
Willing to go for it.
So here's where we are, Megan. If you want to get rid of the paddleboarders that are kneeling, that only had one vote. And the yoga paddleboarder only had one vote. And the kids on the sand dune with a kite had no votes. So we are down to 5. We can produce 5 or we can reassemble it again. If you want to go through, we're actually pretty well even. We have 4 on the, so the surfing one has 4 votes. The runner has 6 votes. The family walking on the beach has 6 votes. The pastel rock has 4. And the plein air has 4. So the 4 different categories. Marianne, do you want to
make a quick comment? So
So yeah, when you think about, and I'm going to be talking about this in my presentation, but the three key differentiators that Carl Roboto fleshed out in our strategic plan were the rec, we're the rec leader in the county. The second is the cultural aspect, which
art
is
culture, yeah.
The art, but also our estuary, the ecology side of it, you know, and that kind of thing. So I do think that I just want to make this comment because if those two are tied, they both have the rock, but that artist one, it's hitting one of our key differentiators that we want to try to get out there, that we're eclectic, we're funky, we're cool, we're hip, and that kind of stuff. So just 2 cents there.
And it's the only one that shows the bay. So where we're at right now, we have 4 beach and only 1 bay. So I would also agree that
I'll
recommend it.
I'll change my vote and vote for the painter instead of just the rock. So.
Okay. So our final four are all except the pastel rock. Those are our final four. If somebody wants to make a motion for those four final covers, we'll go ahead. Or you guys can change them again. It doesn't matter to me if you want to reposition your thoughts or no.
I'm anti-runner.
I'll make a motion to approve these four covers.
Surfing, running, the beach, and the plein air painter. Okay.
I second that.
Thank you.
Calling a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Looking great. Let's move on.
The Jen, great photos.
Yeah, really good. Just really good work. Thank you.
Those are Dana's. She does a great job.
And now
I think it's really nice quality.
Now we're
going
to move on to our 6-month review of mental marketing and their truly wonderful work.
Yeah. 6-month part two. Adieu. Thank you for having me. I'm Marianne Stansfield with Mental Marketing. Also, Bill Stansfield with Mental Marketing is here as well.
Let me give you a quick introduction really quick because we
sure.
have 4 new board members. So
sure.
what is happening right now is Mental Marketing is in the middle of a 2-year contract. Part of the agreement that the old board asked was for them to come back at 6 months and do a 6-month review of how it's been going and where we're going next. The things that have happened in between that is we had a strategic plan done. So there was creative concepts that were approved by the board, approved by city council. Then after that, our strategic plan has been done. So last month, Mental Marketing came in and they gave us their review of how they're doing on the numbers, basically how their numbers have been moving, and they were doing really well. And I'd be glad to send out that report to the 4 new board members just so you have an idea of what that looks like. And today's report is how do we blend the brand that was approved by the board and by council into the new strategic plan. So that's go ahead. Sorry.
Exactly. Thank you, Jen. I super appreciate that. Welcome, new board members. This is exciting. We have a full board, and everybody's ready to rumble, and we have this great strategic plan now that gives us a roadmap, and I couldn't be more thrilled about where we are right now. So we're going to be discussing the strategic plan approach that we're taking, and there is a copy of our approach outlined in your board packet, and I want to talk about what we've accomplished to date as well. So who has the...
I have it.
Oh. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Megan was all over it. All right, so short-term strategies. We're looking at for a 6-month term on these that we are really got plenty of work to do, and it's just a matter of planning and pushing forward and attacking all the items. We've made some headway on the first 3 there, positioning, branding, and storytelling. Tourism research, new website that Jen and her team are working on fantastically that should launch in April, which is great timing. For what we're trying to do here. External communication, so we're going to be planning and working on how to match up our external communications, PR and blog, like long format communications to support the plan. In-market communications, so that's building constituency, building that database, making sure we're getting information out to local tourism partners and so forth within the city. Special events, you saw that great presentation with Terry. I know that has a lot to do with Jen and her team and growing those, for example, the February retreat, writers retreat, which I too went to that the Central Coast Writers event this year. It was fantastic. It was super fantastic. So I would love to see something like that as well. Okay, strategic alliances. So strategic alliances, Carl identified as our, you know, our tourism alliances. So that would be Visit SoCal, Central Coast Tourism Council, and Visit California, which we have strong relationships with already. But we definitely want to look at ways where we can grow those and make them stronger and maybe even find more additional co-op opportunities with these tourism partners. And then partnerships is community partners. So just different segments of the community, kind of like the focus groups that Carl did, he did with like 10 members of different segments of the community, whether it was the arts community, the ecological community here, and so on and so forth. And that's how, you know, we came to be with this strategic plan. That's where this information came from. And so we as a tourism entity want to strengthen those partnerships as well. So we've had a chance to get moving on several of the short-term projects, and I'm happy to answer any questions at any time throughout, and then there'll be a Q&A at the end as well. So, go ahead. I'll let you do it. Thank you. Okay, so today's focus, positioning and messaging development, our brand approach that we're going to be able to tackle in the next couple of months, and our storytelling approach. We really want to have some messaging ready and in place for Amgen that's coming up quickly, and also our upcoming spring campaign, and get that going. So this I pulled right out of the strategic plan. This is the destination assets that Carl identified. Just kind of wanted to do a refresher on that. Friendly community, destination, outdoor recreation. We're fierce about protecting our environment. We're an oceanfront location with waterfront hotels. We have a national estuary and the eclectic community park. Like Joan had said, we don't have any chain restaurants. We have public art. We have special events and really a unique culture, including really cool museums. And we have a fishing community, which is, you know, this community was built on. So it's just really unique in that regard. excuse me. Go ahead. So this is the destination opportunity. This is the heart of this plan, I believe. And basically it's to improve competitiveness by reimagining and leveraging our assets to increase demand, revenues, and taxes, right? So how do we do that? We want to turn that opportunity into a solid marketing program that will hit through the sales funnel on every level. So I know we talked about this last month about, and I wanted to bring the sales funnel to you guys and kind of discuss it a little bit. Basically, awareness at the top of the funnel, that's kind of like the shotgun blast. That's where we're hitting a lot of people, targeted by their likes and dislikes and so forth, but we're hitting a lot of people, and that's through television and PR. This is where Amgen lives. This is our awareness. They're going to be doing television. They're going to be doing PR at that high level, and it's going to be including Morro Bay. And the next level is consideration. So people are starting to search. They're starting to read more about where they might want to travel to. The next level is intent to purchase, and that happens online. People are doing more research. They're going to TripAdvisor. They're, you know, figuring out. They're reading reviews of different places to go. The next level is, of course, the purchase. And that has a lot to do with you guys, whether they purchase your hotel or the competitor. It's about what you guys are putting out there, what your messages are, what your amenities are, and that kind of thing. So then they purchase online, and then they come to our city. And then this is where we develop a loyalty base. This is, you know, this all is dependent on the customer service experience that they get at the hotel, the restaurants that they go to, the museums, the fun that they have. You know, that's how we build loyal customers. We want to make sure they have a great experience when they're here so that they come back again and again. So, So I just wanted to kind of go over this with you just as we kind of go through and talk about what our plans are for the near future. So positioning and messaging. So we all know how amazing Morrowbay is. You know, we live here. If we don't live here, we work here, and we enjoy ourselves here, spend a lot of time here. We have a lot of assets. One of the things that makes me so excited about this strategic plan is really is allowing us to take the three key differentiators that were identified and streamline our messaging focus. So the three differentiators were that we're a diverse recreation leader in the county. So we have Morrowbay's location to both land and water-based activities. So, for example, we have surfing. There's a lot of places to surf up and down the coast, but we also have boating. We also have kayaking. We also have a safe harbor for a lot of these water activities that no other region in our county has. So we are really unique in that way, and I think that's what Carl identified. I think he said to Jen that we're the REI of the county, and that is not lost on us. We're definitely going to be calling those guys and seeing. Word is there is an REI coming to San Luis Obispo. I don't know if anybody knew that, but it's pretty cool. Anyway, so our second key differentiator, unique and eclectic place. So we touched on that a little bit in the guide cover part. So it really is an amalgam of several things. It's not really just art and galleries, which is a huge thing because we have such cool galleries and many, and vintage stores and antique shops. But we have these cool museums too, like the skateboard museum, our maritime museum. It's just that we have this nautical culture here too, and the activities, and then we have the ecological side of it. So, you know, ecotourism is so huge now, you know, like Jen was saying about Visit California. I took notes somewhere, but I didn't write down, what is it, protect and preserve. You know, I mean, that is something that we're aligned with very well with them. It's a combination of things that make us an eclectic place. And then, of course, the price and value. For a coastal destination, Morrowbay provides visitors with a unique local experience at a very affordable price. So to that end, while we were developing messaging, we also reached out to local avid cyclists, multi-sport enthusiasts, local artists, gallery owners, art associations, the art center, and then we met with National Estuary Program staff, and we really wanted to get their feedback, their thoughts on what's happening in their world and where they're living and what they're seeing. And we took that all into consideration when we were developing our messaging. So brand approach. So when it comes to the brand creative, the asset repositioning that Carl discussed equals a more focused creative approach, which is fantastic. So we want to integrate the new positioning into our current brand for now, create opportunities across all mediums, print, digital, social, database, blogs, native, video. We want to leverage Amgen as a top sales funnel asset, that awareness-building asset, because we're getting national exposure and international exposure. We get that 30-second commercial that's sent out there, too. That's huge. But then on top of it, we're going to do a little niche targeting within a 3 to 5 hour drive zone of Morrowbay and spend a little money to go after that Amgen, that multi-sport swim, bike, run athlete to leverage that opportunity. And then focus storytelling approach. So there's long format and short format. So long format like blogs, PR, native advertorial, video, you can really, so in a blog, a 400-word blog, you can really kind of dial down into, okay, what are the varied sports that we have that make us a recreation center? You know, what is it that really, how do we describe our eclectic flavor here in this town? And then we can mention the affordability component. When it comes to a short format, like print, you have a headline. In digital, you have, you know, a soundbite, you know, and the same goes for social media. And so what we're going to focus on is our short format approach, and that's what we're going to share with you today. Storytelling, short format strategy. We've come up with a hashtag program, and there's several reasons for this. It's a short format storytelling. As we all know, they're just like little sound bites. You can use phrases. You can do single words. It executes well in all mediums, from digital print. So we can include hashtags that we decide to use in our PR. We can include them in our blogs. We can use them in our print. And social media, it really drives that. It executes well into different audiences, from Generation Z to millennials, Gen Xers, boomers, which are more of your clientele, because they're very flexible. We want to create a hashtag strategy that matches the channel that we use it on. So, for example, on Twitter, 1 to 2 tags, that's the max. The research shows that 1 to 2 powerful tweets double the engagement than those tweets without hashtags. Hashtags on Facebook help your posts be more searchable, and they encourage conversation. We want people talking about these key differentiators that identify Morro Bay in a unique way. And Instagram posts is the anomaly. 8 to 10 is the average. Hashtag, the number of hashtags that make a post have higher interaction. Because people are using hashtags. They're searching for content through hashtags. And interested users can discover content, events, lodging offers, and a multitude of things more easily. So those are the reasons we're proposing this. Those are some of the reasons. Why does this matter? The ultimate goal of the strategic plan is to grow site traffic 20% year over year. And you guys read the math. So if we grow, it's high. That's a high number. But in Carl's statistics, we grow, or let's say 10% of the users to our website book a room. The more we grow the users to our website, the more people book rooms, right? So that, I mean, and ultimately our website is our best marketing tool. And the other good thing for hotels about that is that users book direct when they go to our site. So we want to capture them, get them to our site, get them checking out, our Jackrabbit unit to find you and referral them to you and not through another booking channel. So there's another reason too that this is really cool too, is because social referrals to morrobay.org were up 51% year over year from 2017 to 2018 calendar year, January to December. Okay, from July to December, this first half of this fiscal year, social media referrals are up 113% from July to December. So this is, supports a strategy that we really, and we've talked about this for years, like really coming together and creating a social media strategy, similar to, if you guys are familiar with Share Slow, some of you might be familiar with that. It was a program, a hashtag program that they put together years ago, and they have a lot of local ambassadors that when they post stuff, they, put Share Slow. I think I see it used locally a lot. I'm not sure how effective it was for out-of-market travelers, but that's really where we're going to focus. But in the end, social media on our website moved from the fourth highest referral generator to the third in the second half of last year. So it's organic, it's direct, which is the result of all of our advertising, our e-blasts and all that. That's our direct. And number three is social. So it's been growing at a really good clip, and we want to leverage that and keep that going. Do you have a question?
I do, sorry. Do you know, when you say that it's gone up 113%, numerically, is that 100 to 213, or is that 100,000 to 213,000.
Numerically, it would be for 6 months. I'm just going to have to. This is a guess. Trying to remember the numbers. Let's say 30,000. So 30,000 was the total from July to December,
mm-hmm.
Which is 113% higher than the prior July to December.
Okay. Any chance during the month at some point we could get real numbers on that? I'd be just curious to look at
it. Sure. I'm happy to. I'll get them to Jen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She can put that in her monthly report.
Great.
Yeah.
Sure. So, just the stats that I was just talking about, basically, just the social media stats?
Yeah. Okay. I'm just curious to see how they grow actual numbers, because actual numbers are actual users. Users aren't a percent of a person. They're actual people. So I
sure.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I appreciate
so what it,
it
would be is new, it would be the percent of new users. It's new users coming to our site, because these are all unique users, were referred to our site. So 30,000 users were referred to our site from July to December from our social media channels. Okay. Okay. Okay, so here are some hashtag samples that we, that we're working on, and we'll show you shortly how we're going to execute these into our current brand creative. We searched basically popular hashtags and combined popular words with a key differentiator context, okay, to get where we are. So, our outdoor recreation leader, we came up with several that we can use. Again, these are like short sound bites that we're using to focus in on our messaging. So Adventure Mecca. Mecca, besides being a very holy city in Saudi Arabia, Mecca is used commonly in today's vernacular as a metaphor for a very significant destination. So we're the adventure mecca of the Central Coast. We're the adventure mecca of San Luis Obispo County is one of the ones that we are looking at. Outdoor goals. This one kind of fits more towards the millennial. Relationship goals, weight loss goals, outdoor goals. So that's kind of speaking that vernacular. Active vacations, that is kind of more going towards a boomer mindset because, they want to get out, they want to move, they want an active vacation. And then fitness and nature, kind of someone a little younger, kind of like that Scott Collins shot, running down the beach, keeping fit, doing a run while on vacation, running that, beer off from the night before or what have you. and so then our multi-sport destination. So we worked with Samantha Pruitt on this section to leverage Amgen. So we'll be doing a small media buy, a digital media buy to make sure we're getting the word out to this audience about Amgen. So here we go, multi-sport mecca. Come, swim, bike, run. Hashtag swim, bike, run. Athlete goals. That's that millennial that's out there that's an athlete on the weekends, weekend warrior, but they're participating in marathons and triathlons, and they're competing, and they want to be the best they can, and they're in their 20s and 30s. And then our eclectic culture, and this has so much flexibility. These four we have up here are what we're going to be using to show you our creative with, but this can go in so many different directions depending on what the content of the social media post is or what the ad is. So, for example, if it was a plein air artist with a rock in the background, we'd have a different hashtag for that. But this is just limited to what we're showing you today. So eclectic culture, Wild Morro Bay. I could see that on every single shot of pelicans and otters and videos of the elephant seals and the surfer shot of that guy, taking that wave, Wild Morro Bay. It's actually something that came out of our meeting with the Morro Bay Estuary people, and they've already started adopting using Wild Morro Bay, which I think is really fun, and I think it has a lot of legs. Fishing life, that's part of our culture. That's part of our eclectic culture. That's something very unique to us. They do have fishing boats that go out of Avila, but nothing compared to what we have going here. Nature scene and craft culture. So we do have a craft scene, craft beer. We have, arts and craft shows all the time. We have our art center. And so those are just some of the ones that we're working with today. And then this last one I really want to get your feedback on as well, as all of these, you know, once after we show you the creative. But this last one, Morro Vacation. So this is kind of like, to me, think, you know, that slow, you know, share slow moniker that everybody's adopted. So we're trying to come up with one Morro Bay, you know, tagline that we can get everyone to adopt. Because everybody posts hashtag Morro Bay, and that's great, and we want that. But we want to take it to the next level. And Morro Bay can be used for locals and, you know, out-of-towners and people pushing any kind of business. But Morro Vacation, that is like a mindset. That is like everyone who's not here, who wants to be here, we want them to be on a Morro Vacation in their mind, right? We want them to come here. And so just wanted to get your feedback on that, if that's something that you guys could see that has legs and could be, you know, we could get some ambassadors putting it out there and really using it as a tourism partner. Yeah. How am I on time, Jen?
We're getting kind of long, so we still
have
to go over the
budget. Okay, so we're just going
to
show creative.
So they can
we're
going
to show
idea.
Creative, and then that's it. So
yeah, so what I had asked Marianne to do was to, I really want them to come up with solid hashtags that we can use everywhere, because, like she said, everybody uses hashtags. If we can get generalized as a citywide and then put whatever else you want on it, but we always use these specific things,
right,
it'll help us grow.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so so for our outdoor sport kind of messaging, Samantha Pruitt sent us the outdoor, it's called the Outdoor Sport Report, and it's put together by the Outdoor Foundation. And the top four sports that people participate in are running, fishing, biking, and hiking. And so we did a panel of four creative layouts that include those four items, okay?
You guys can do too. Go ahead.
Yeah. So gears and beers. Yeah, go ahead up there. Hold on. So one is about running, one is about fishing, and one is about biking. And we use the hashtags based on the relevance of the subject matter. As you can see, they're super flexible. And really easy to use. I could just put here. Gears and beers rock. So this is, we want to actually do a photo shoot. We're already talking about doing, you know, mountain bikers at one of our, you know, at Tognazzini's, sitting out on the deck with the rock in the background drinking beers. So it's like gears and beers. So it's, they just went mountain biking and now they're in recovery and they're drinking beer. That's how mountain bikers recover. Leave footprints in the sand. This is the infamous Scott photo. Active vacation, nature scene. Get hooked. Now this is huge, and I think, you know, there was something, and we'll swing back around with Carl on this, because he didn't really kind of go into the fishing element, you know, our fishing community much in this strategic plan, but you know, fishing life, outdoor goals. I mean, fishing is huge, and we have a huge commercial fishing opportunity. Not commercial. I'm sorry. Sport fishing opportunity here, and then that also helps brand us as, you know, we've got the freshest seafood, you know, so that leads back into the food element that we don't want to, the unique food element, we don't want to lose that, and so fishing life, and then
hiking.
Huh? Yeah, hiking, that's Black Hill, Black Mountain, Navigate Good Times, Fitness in Nature, Wild Morro Bay. So so that's how we would execute it, keeping within the current brand, really just fine-tuning the imagery and fine-tuning our hashtags to the messaging that we want to get out to the public. And then we have three more that would be kind of more of the multi-sport. This will just be real quick, and then we'll talk. Huh? So these would be talking, and these headlines and these hashtags would be talking more to the athlete, the hardcore athlete, who are really you know, really out there and engaging. And the great thing about this target audience, quite frankly, you guys, is that we have, I mean, we have triathlons, we have marathons, we have cycling races, we have all these events, but these guys train in between. So we don't want them to only come for the event. We want them to come and train in between, right? So, and having us, you know, having Amgen come through here, that's huge, you know, and we've been working with Samantha Pruitt about all the cycling clubs that train here and really digging deep into that a little bit further and really figuring out how we can, you know, get more of them coming here to train. So, so that's what we have for you today. My last slide is just talking about the long-term strategies that were also in your in your packet, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Is this on? There you go. A diversity in the pictures. So what are you thinking in terms of casting the people in the pictures? Because it's all white people up there.
Yeah. I mean, these yeah, these are shots.
I actually didn't
As notice. A white person, I'll say.
No. Great question. These were just photos that we found, and some of these we don't even have the rights to use to publish.
Yeah, I understand.
But so
that.
We wanted to kind of go bring this to you guys, get your feedback, and then we'll really dial in and get, you know, do some photo shoots. We're actually doing some video with Sam Pruitt, because she's friends with several cycling clubs and teams and that kind of thing. And diversity is key, absolutely, 100%.
Great, thank you.
Like on the mountain biking one, Sam's got a female mountain biking group that she wants to bring out, like
right.
Specifically be and a female group and be very
and
diverse.
And
yeah.
There's some natural ones to put in a little more diversity, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Love all the hard work, love the hashtags.
Thanks.
You know, I think it's important that we all embrace this kind of stuff and use it. It's mm-hmm. like you said, the more we push this out, you know, on our feet, because I'm really active, you know, at the inn and through the museum trying to really get more noticed, mm-hmm. and hashtags really pave the way because
yeah.
people are looking.
What do you guys think about Mecca? What do you think about that term on our hashtags? You like it? I think it's funky.
I do. It's
and cool and I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yep.
Nobody's embracing it right now, so I think it's something we could own in just about every category.
Right.
Well, it's definitely, you know, focusing in on millennials and a different demographic, which is great.
There might be a billion Muslims who are embracing it.
When we search the hashtags, it's not there.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because I'm married to one. So, I don't know.
Well,
I'd be
it's
careful
Mecca,
with that.
Mecca with a small M. It's Mecca with a small M. I mean, of course, being careful and sensitive is always important.
Yeah, and I like getting some more diversity in the photos.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what you think of one that has just the general word surf, because beyond just surfing, it also means like people watching the surf, people do surf fishing, there's animals in the surf. I mean, just bringing in the water element back and like surf, sup, swim, or I don't know,
yeah.
something like that. That
absolutely.
You could get the surf in there, because that word surf is huge for who we are as a community, not
a
just
point.
Board surfing, but
yeah.
But I love the activity pictures, and then also surf pertains to food, because oysters and
surf and turf,
surf and turf, all that food kind of stuff. So
yeah,
I don't know. I
like that.
I think
great.
It's a strong word for us as a community. So
yeah,
but I like this idea.
Yeah, we actually did. So when we were presenting to Jen and to the team, we had probably 9 of the active ones, and actually surf was one of them, but we just pared it down for you guys and went with the 4 top activities from this report we did. But that's definitely on our radar.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really want to commend you on the social strategy and strengthening that. One of the things when I heard Carl's strategic plan, he focused so much on the website. And I was concerned because websites are like the fax machines of today's world, right? It's not about the it's not about the website anymore. It's about driving traffic.
It's traffic to the website.
To the website or driving, and I know that's where we want people to go, but then just generally driving that consideration phase
mm-hmm.
From awareness. And awareness building is not TV anymore. It's so many of the people that you're targeting in these pictures they rarely watch broadcast TV. So spends on broadcast TV are just not as effective as putting your attention into your Twitter strategy. So I really commend you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that coming from you, because I know you have a huge marketing background. So I thank you so much. Just on that note, we don't spend money on TV. We don't have a budget for it because we don't have millions and millions of dollars. But I did want to point that out, because we do have our 30-second TV opportunity through Amgen.
Yes, which is great.
I know, right? Yeah, that's super cool. So, but thank
which
you.
Which is great, because it's free, but TV spends are just not.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for KSBY.
All these hashtags are going to drive back directly to the website, right? Are you driving back to the website? Is that your goal? Because I am wondering, because the website is where we see bookings, which funds the mechanism for advertising next year, right? And you yourself had a great point, which is that's the best place for hotels to get bookings, because they're not charged a commission there.
Right.
So how are we driving that funnel down that you showed, from the big splash to the awareness to funneling direct to our ability to convert, to our community's ability to convert?
Right, good question. So that would be through our social channels. And so basically we want, like I said, can we go back a couple of slides? Oh, actually, I could probably do it. Let me see. I can do it. Huh? No. I don't want the funnel. Sorry. I want this one. Okay, so why does it matter? Because social media drives new users to our website. That's the key thing. And so what we're doing is we want to educate the public, all of our tourism partners, you guys, the city, everyone. Yeah. And that to start using hashtags that consistently, so that if somebody searches Morro Bay Vacation, it's going to pull up articles, it's going to pull up blogs, it's going to pull up all linked back to our website. That's how they get back to our website, when it's coming from, not from our social media. But on our social media, we are going to be driving these hashtags home, and they click that, those stories, those blogs, those features, those events, those lodging specials all lead people back to our website, which is why, and I'll get you those stats, but which is why I think it was really revealing when just the last 6 months of last year, our social media referrals have grown 113%. That's huge. So let's leverage that. Let's, you know, get that out there. And not just this team right here, not just us, but all of us. And so I think, you know, the next step would be for Jen and I to really figure out how to, you know, with these community partnerships, you know, the meetings we have with our community, the meetings we have with the estuary, you know, we talked about the hashtag program and about how this is where we're going, and we want to then share these hashtags with all of our community builders. So I went to the Art Center, and they have specific, the Art Center social media Facebook page. And they have so many programs, and they have so many events, and you know, that they're promoting. And we get them up on our website. But if we can connect their events to Morro Vacation, when someone clicks Morro Vacation, they're now, you know, when they search Morro Vacation on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, now Morro Bay Art Center content's pulling up, right? It's going to be like an education about what all that Morro Bay is. The more we penetrate our assets with that.
This is a question for Jennifer. Jennifer, the website portion of it, the new website is coming. How are you going to coordinate all of these kind of new, like, Morro Vacations? Are you going to coordinate any of these kind of hashtag themes or whatever into that website?
It'll be through our SEO, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And through some of our promotions and our campaigns, you know, like, so on the current website, it's going to be different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, on the current website, we have the rotator board that goes across, you know, Morro Vacation, you know, hashtag on the front page. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So easy to incorporate to all channels. which I think that's another key asset to this program.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good answers. It would be interesting to know, for me, you know, bookings on mobile versus web.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, just so I can understand the strategy a little better. And then how mobile-enabled the website is, how you're building the website.
Yep.
Because I'm sure that mobile bookings are going to continue to rise.
Yep. Right.
And less people will go to the website, but you still want them to be able to book. So
yep.
So anyway, just I'd love to know your strategy on that. The mobile.
Okay. All righty.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Good presentation.
Thank you.
And last but not least.
Is everybody okay with time? I know we're running late, so we probably have another 20 minutes for Jen Calloway and I to go through the budget with you guys. Are we all good?
Great. Do you mind if I take a quick break?
Sure. 5-minute break? Okay.
You going to go get pizza?
No.
I'm going to go hashtag. I got to go book some rooms. I actually got to take care of coffee.
That sounds good.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. I'd like to thank you all for this extended day. I would like to bring up Brad Davis. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Yates. My name is Robert Davis. I want to welcome the new members to the TBID Advisory Committee, and I want to thank you for volunteering to do this important work. Your committee manages a budget of around $1 million, and you have the responsibility to drive tourism to this city, which accounts for almost a third of our city's general revenue. So you have a very important function in the city, and I want you to know that council appreciates your work, and we value your recommendations. And also, I am the council liaison to the TBID committee, so please feel free at any time to contact me with questions or comments or recommendations. And I want to congratulate Mr. Yates and Mr. Allen for winning re-election to your posts. It was a hard-fought campaign. You prevailed. So congratulations. Thank you again, all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Red. And now, Jennifer, you're up.
Sure. So I'm here with our fearless financial leader, Jen Calloway, and she's going to help us walk through our budget. So to bring the new board members up to date, the budget was presented to TBID with line item allocations for the year, which was approved, and then it went to City Council for approval and was adopted. And so we are halfway through that yearly budget, so this is just our mid-year to look at how we're doing. We're tracking very well financially and how we're spending. Some things that I wanted to mention from my standpoint, one is the SimpleView contract, which is a pretty large fee. That fee, we had allocated some different line items for money towards rebuilding and digital assets and the website, but the actual number that was approved by City Council is higher than the physical dollars in that one line item. So I've held money and allocated it in several line items to cover that. Just so you know, that's kind of, if you see some money sitting that's not being used, that's probably what it's for. And if you want me to go through those line items, I'd be glad to.
I'll just speak a little bit to the mid-year budget report. Good morning. Thanks for having me to the new members. Congratulations on taking your seats. This is the mid-year budget update that will be presented to Council on Tuesday night as a whole for all of the cities. The general fund, the Measure Q fund, tourism fund, and the enterprise funds. We wanted to this year bring this forward to the board before presenting to the council, and we'll share with the council any of the board's input or recommendations based on the mid-year report. The mid-year report focuses heavily on, for TBID, the establishment of the accumulation fund. About 4 or 5 months ago, we were here with accumulation policy, a reserve policy that holds money in your reserve in case there's an economic downturn or you want to do one big marketing project. You would have some funds available in your accumulation fund to do that. And it's about 20 to 25% of ongoing annual expenditures is what the reserve policy adopted. Having done that, we've gone ahead and set aside a new reserve account or a new reserve fund. It's Fund 954. So several of the recommendations in the mid-year report are actually transferring the money that's sitting in your 007 account as fund balance, which is what we call it, into that accumulation fund, and that will hold it. Having set that up, we then need to transfer money out of accumulation back into your operating fund for the Amgen support that you had already approved. We did the budget adjustment last quarter for the expenditures, but now since we have this new account, we have to transfer the money in there to support that. And then the other recommendation included in here is the SLOCAL support of Amgen of $32,000. So we're proposing a budget augmentation to revenues for that revenue to come in. And then a true-up of the general fund contribution. The way that the resolution is a little bit vague, the staff report to the resolution provides the calculation for that. And it's $60,000 base funding plus 20% of TOT received beyond $3 million. When we adopt the budget in the April-May timeframe, we obviously don't know what year-end TOT results will be. So we did this last year as well, as went back and trued up to what we actually received and did a budget adjustment for that. And that's the $11,163 adjustment that you see in the staff report. Other than that, I'm going to I don't have any more detail. I'm happy to answer any questions. We did get some in advance. If we want to go through those, we can do that. Or if you have any questions on the accumulation fund or anything like that.
I know that Joan had some questions, and they went back and forth. I saw I was on the email string, and I know that with a lot of detail, I'm not so sure how much in the weeds we want to get or how we need to get. But I want to make sure that our board members' questions have been answered.
I have kind of a new question regarding the accumulation fund. We're taking money out of that to provide to Amgen. So the balance of that, does the balance of that meet the minimum level?
It does.
Once that money is out?
Yeah, the policy has a minimum and a target funding level, so the range is 20 to 25%. You would fall within that range. You're just shy of the target of 25%. You're at about 23%.
Would there be enough money in there to pull money from there to make up the true-up amount, so that we don't remove any line item that's already committed in the current budget?
Absolutely. We could do that. We could do that now, or we could do that at year-end when you see where you fall at year-end, because you might have excess revenues over expenditures as we get into the third quarter. So we could do it at that point, or I'm happy to do that now. Either way is fine.
Okay. That was a question I had.
Is it preferable to do it at a true-up at the end of the quarter? I think that would probably be my preference, would be to wait till we get all those revenues collected.
Yeah, wait till.
But that makes great sense. Thank you.
And I'm still not clear on the telephone how a cell phone, I'm sorry, I'm going to disagree with staff. I love our city staff, don't get me wrong, but I am going to disagree on how a telephone, which is used so much for the actual day-to-day interaction of what takes place in the office, if we got down to the nitty-gritty and counted how many phone calls came through on the landline, which likely are very few, versus the business cell phone that that our tourism director uses, I would say that it might be more beneficial for the city to cut the hard line and keep the cell line and have that be part of the general fund office expense. I know we have a disagreement on that. I'm just saying feel pretty strongly that the cell phone should be included in accordance with the resolution 0316.
When we adopted the budget, we went through, as you know, there's been transition in staffing,
yeah.
So neither the city manager, myself, or several of us were not here when the resolution was drafted. And it is a little vague as to what is accounted for. So we did look at it as, well, the building utility costs versus an employee's individual cost. Employees have a choice of getting a stipend or having a separate work phone outside, instead of getting the stipend, they have their own. I'm not necessarily disagreeing one way or the other. We tried to interpret the resolution. We can certainly go back and reread it and revisit it and come back to the board again.
Okay.
I would not recommend getting rid of the landline because it does also service the two part-time staff members, and we have a lot of incoming calls for potential guests or events.
Sure. Yep. And And I just for the public, the really quick, one of the questions that I had was how the bid, which is, or how the tourism office, which has only been in existence about 2 years, how it's being, having a line allocation for PERS unfunded accrued liability from employees that it's never had. In other words, these are past employees who have retired or employees who are in a retirement pool who have worked for the city for a number of years. And I'm not, I question that in terms of how, you know, $15,000 would be pulled from our budget when we weren't even a city department up until about 2 years ago. It's a big number. $15,000 is a lot of hashtags. So I'm uncomfortable with that number, and I understand the description of what Ms. Calloway provided, and maybe she can, now that I brought it up, provide that for the public, because I think it's good balance, you know. But I just think that that's a big number, and if that's going to inflate, which it likely will because CalPERS is going to inflate, I think it's something that this board ought to discuss, having a real in-depth conversation about. It just feels wonky to me. I don't know if it does to you guys, but let's hear what Ms. Calloway has to say. And I'm not trying to put you in the hot seat. I just, nope. I'm trying to get the information out
there. Yeah, that's completely fine. Let me explain a little bit about PERS. So you probably already know that PERS is our retirement system. Not all, but the majority of municipalities in the state belong to PERS. Once you are in PERS, it's virtually cost prohibitive to get out of it. Some cities have, but it's extremely expensive. Back when the economy crashed, PERS lost a significant amount in their investments. They had invested in things like property in Nevada and those kind of things that really crashed when the market crashed. So as a result of that, they've assigned every member agency an unfunded accrued liability to help make up for those losses. They've also gone and reevaluated their actuarials. They've changed their discount rate, which is essentially their interest earnings rate. They've lowered that, which is another factor that contributes to our increased costs. So for each employee in the city, we pay what is called the normal cost. And that's kind of the normal cost if they meet all of their assumptions for the actuary. Their interest rates come in at the 7 point. It's now down to 2.5%. The mortality rate remains what they assume it's going to be. All these various factors that are in there, the cost to meet those obligations. The second piece that we pay as a percentage of payroll for each employee is the unfunded accrued liability. And that's that assessment based on what they lost during the market turn back in 2008-ish. So we get a number. It used to, when they first came out with the UALs, that's what we call that, it was as a percentage of payroll, just like the normal cost. Now they give us a number, and we go through and allocate that as a percentage of payroll. We pay that up front in July this year, and it saved us about $50,000 for the city by doing so, because you're not paying interest now on that UAL throughout the whole year. So we are doing what we can to reduce that, but citywide, whether it's a new employee or an employee that has been with the city for 20 years, they are getting an allocation of that UAL. Again, as a percentage of payroll, it's less for new employees because they are typically at a lower salary, but they are still paying for that even though it's not an obligation of theirs particularly. So we've applied that methodology for all of our employees, no matter what fund they were in, and that's how the $15,000, almost $16,000, I think, came to light in the budget for the tourism manager.
So that's a big CalPERS expectation.
Again, this was my biggest, the biggest issue I saw was the PERS, with the understanding that we didn't have anyone who was benefiting from that. In 2008, we were not within the city, and so for me, it just looks very wrong. And I'm going to continue to say and be with Joan to say I think this is something that we need to bring up to whoever, city manager, and say should not be taken out of our budget.
So we can share this discussion and your concerns with the council. I would emphasize that, unfortunately, for the city as a whole, you know, even the new employees that we hire, they weren't here in 2008, too, yet we still have this obligation for them. So it's just an impact of being a government function and a government agency and what we're forced to kind of deal with and figure out how to allocate. But we can certainly, as I mentioned, we'll share with the council this report on Tuesday, and we'll share your concerns about that.
Thank you. Yeah, our opinion, at least mine, is that it should come out of the general fund and not out of our tourism budget. Thank you. Thank you so much, too, for coming in.
I agree with Chair. I believe that it should come out of the general fund and not out of our fund. We didn't have, the position is newly created. The department and the position, thank you, are newly created. And it's true that we have new employees, but they're not newly created departments and positions. They're refilling someone who's retired. So this is a newly created department and position. So for me, I feel very strongly about that because, again, that's a whole lot of hashtagging going on. So which drives the general fund revenue. So, you know, it's a handshake, right? So so that was the one thing that I really saw in there, those two things, the telephone and that. But and then you answered all my other questions as they came in. But since you're here and we are a TBID, a special assessment fund, there was on the staff report also a question about the language and if the language could be changed. And Jennifer Little, the two Jennifers over there, Jennifer Little did say that the language could be changed to reflect the assessment. That's an assessment,
and
not
a
tax.
To go to city council.
Because it's not legally a tax.
Right.
And then on the, I guess because it's collected, well, never mind. I'll ask for a future agenda item. Okay, thank you.
So do you want to make a recommendation to council on your, do you want to formulate this thought or?
I'm going to look to my board to,
see if they agree or.
To Joan and I who've made this recommendation to the city to remove that $15,000 and replace it to get out of the general fund. Mm-hmm. I think we're looking for consensus mm-hmm. across our mm-hmm. board. And so if you, do we need to make a motion for that or do we need to just?
You need to make a recommendation and you need to make a recommendation to wait on the $11,163 to the end of the year and reevaluate at that point, correct?
Joan, you think you can come up with a motion?
I want to make sure that Jennifer Calloway.
With respect to the $11,000, I think the recommendation or my suggestion would be that the TBID fund will reimburse the general fund for that. We'd like to wait till the end of the year to know if it should come from accumulation or from the operating fund, just so the general fund had some obligation and we know we can expect that to come in.
Yep.
Where it comes from, out of which one of your two funds, we can wait for. I think that's fine.
Okay. So then, I will make a motion. Do you want two motions or one motion, Jennifer's? Yeah, with an S.
Perhaps it would be better to do two separate motions.
That's
so it's
what
clear.
I thought too. Okay. So then, the first motion will be to wait till the end of the quarter to see where the. See where the revenue comes in, right? To see where revenue comes in. Nope, that's not going to be right.
Wait till
getting my
thoughts.
Yeah, wait till. Okay, so my motion is to wait until the end of the third quarter to do a true up on the general fund monies and decide then whether we're going to take it from the accumulation fund or another line item.
Second that.
I've got a motion and a second. Calling for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Working on a unanimous. And the next motion is?
our board would like to ask the City Council to reconsider line item number 4912 on the mid-year budget for the bid of $15,827 because we're a newly developed department and did not have any staffing that would have caused this line item back in 2008.
We have a motion. I'm looking for a second.
I second it.
Motion's on the floor with a second. Thank you. All in favor, calling for a vote. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Passes. Thank you. And Jennifer and Jen, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you very much.
Charlie, I had a question real quick for one of the Jennifers. On the revenue side, and forgive me if this is obvious, but the City of Morro Bay does give some funding to the T-bid, correct? Is that reflected in the transfers in?
Yes. So the budgeted amount was $157,000, and that's a transfer in to the fund 007, which is your operating fund, out of the general fund.
Okay. And are those the funds that we're not sure if they're going to continue or not?
Yes. That's what council brought up last year as a discussion point.
Do we know when that's going to be clarified?
I don't believe it's been agendized at this point, but in light of the fact that we're rapidly getting into budget season, I would imagine very soon.
Okay, because if we don't get those funds, it's going to affect what we're doing. Right. So.
I know there was specific concern when it came up last year during budget that there wasn't an opportunity for the board to weigh in. So I'm sure there will be an opportunity for the board to weigh in before that discussion occurs at the City Council.
When is your budget? I know they vote in June to finalize the budget. Is that correct?
So the first draft of the proposed budget is shared with our Citizens Finance Advisory Committee in April. And then our first draft goes to the council in early May. We have budget study sessions set up for early May. There's a first kind of reading and adoption of that in May, and the final actual adoption is the first meeting in June, hopefully.
Okay. And Jennifer L., when do you start working on how you want to take the cloud of money and line item it out? When do you begin that work?
I'm already doing that. So we're running through line items now, and we're also running through this bucket of money we're talking about that might not be coming in the general fund portion. And I'm going to be coming back to you most likely in March with some recommendations on if it did come into our budget, how we could use it to benefit tourism and residents alike, trying to show the council that we're actively looking at bettering the community as well with that general fund money. And then probably final budgets won't come back until they're ready for City Council.
And at that time, will you be bringing us kind of your bucket list of what you thought worked really dynamically over the past year in the budget and what could be enhanced if we paid
not
a little?
Not in March. But
not
yes,
in March.
I will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Anything further on that subject? Jen and Jen? Nope. I have a new board member who would like to recall this.
Sorry, I was really shy earlier, but
is there a way we can do five? I know you said yes.
I like that one. So
this, we've got
we do five.
Some strong feelings about this rock. I know.
So let me just pull it back.
So if that's okay,
yes,
that we could possibly just revisit that for just a quick moment and say it's okay to do five instead of four.
We can. I just want to tell you how many people voted on it really quick. So we had Isaac, I had you on here.
Huh?
I had Amish, Isaac, and Joan as the three on there.
Oh,
but we cut them down to four. That's why.
Can we have five and include that one? I just really like that one.
It's just an issue of cost, so I'll just have to look at the total budget. Because when you print more covers, it's more stitching. It's just an issue of cost.
Okay. Would you be able just to get back to the board on that?
Sure.
You know, email us and let us know. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So it's just gorgeous.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
If not, it will be used other places. It's not like these photos are not,
exactly.
They're not going away. We've purchased
now,
them.
Now, do we have any future agenda items that we'd like to see, board? Now, this is something that, for new board members, that you can bring things to us and ask that they be brought to this board. And if we agree, we put them on the agenda. And if we can't get to them, we'll put them on the following month's agenda.
So and you have to have a board majority to agree on
have to have a board majority that would like to see it. But I really, it's one of the best things about here. You can say, I got an idea. I want to put this on the agenda. And we say yes or no, and we go forward with it. So
I have an idea, and I want to put it on the agenda. I thought I'd follow your cue. It's regarding the TOT reports. There's two reports that are generated, this one that the city generates, and I'd like to have a future agenda item to see if we could ask the city to bring down the occupancy rate and to bring down the motel rooms in an average so that we have a running average of those. Those are two line items that are missing on here that are pretty glaring, and that also could be, I mean, this is probably a spreadsheet. I'm not sure whether this is done in like a...
What are the two items you want, Joan?
The occupancy rate and the motel room numbers to be dropped down to the bottom.
A total
average running on the month for the year. It just helps when you're reading it across, understand what's going on a little bit better. And then I wanted to discuss this one that we generate as an office. Is that right? We generate this as the office. And discuss whether we want to have a comparison of the jackrabbit to last year, because these numbers just kind of show us a number, but they don't show us how we're doing, how we're trending. So some of the trending numbers, maybe just discuss this form since we have almost a new board to see what else we might want on here, like maybe some of the mobile data or maybe some of the hashtag stuff so we understand how our marketing is working. So I'd like to kind of discuss this one if you guys want to.
We have consensus.
Our favorite topic of vacation rentals and RV parks, was that ever...
I was going to say, where is it?
I'd say that again.
Yeah.
All in favor of putting vacation rentals and RV parks back on the agenda for assessment? I would like to get consensus on putting vacation rentals and RV parks assessment on the agenda for next time.
For next month?
For our next meeting.
For the next meeting or for the next year?
I would just like to continue to see it on the agenda so that it doesn't drop off like it has, because it's gone nowhere.
Is it going to be, let me ask you, Jennifer, is that going to be part of the discussion when we bring back the assessment for approval this year? So it should be done out in advance of that, right?
So it came to TBID last year, mm-hmm. and the board did not make a decision, so it does not come back to TBID? Because there wasn't a motion to move it forward or continue it or anything. There was a no motion. So it doesn't come back here unless you start a new recommended
conversation about
topic.
Otherwise, it'll
just go straight to City Council now.
Is this the way to start to generate it, to add it as a future agenda item?
Probably.
Okay.
But I know it's slated for City Council to also discuss as well.
And that's part of the when – my recollection and remembrance is that as a board, we decided not to make the recommendation anyway because we couldn't come to a consensus. And so it was contentious on our board, and we decided to let the City Council take it on as their own. My understanding at that point was that the City Council was with us in pushing for that assessment. However, it has taken a long, long time. So I can't discuss it right now, but we'll put it on a future agenda. Anything else? Not seeing any. I would just like to thank you all for your attendance and being part of this great dynamic group. And thank you, Morro Bay. Have a great weekend.
Meeting's adjourned. 11:45. Long meeting. They normally won't be this. They'll be longer. Yes.